Jimmy Dum Dum went a little long on the tapes back at the studio. Let me just say hello to stadium announcer Philip J. Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Rob Spiewak.
You know, it's funny. Phil actually left a message for me in the hotel last night.
What was the message?
She said if we're not too busy, we should come over and kiss his Barney Stones. I don't know what that means. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea, making all of America turn St. Patrick's Day green with envy, because we're in Wichita and you ain't.
That's
it's
right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Robbie, and hello, and thank you for listening coast to coast, nationwide, still via Best Goodbond, darling. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara, Don and Mike Show. Today, coming to you from Wichita, Kansas.
Yeah! Yeah!
Radio station KFH.
We're here. We're queer. We're doing the show.
KFH, which stands for Crazy Frickin' House.
Yeah, man. We are having a great time already. And we haven't even started the show yet.
We are in Wichita, Kansas. More on that in just a moment. Don Mike, coming to you via the auspices of Westwood One. We are heard every day by over 6 million people. That's what the Arbitron Company tells us. The Raise Company. No thanks to Big Al, your radio pal, Jeremy the Gerbil, Donald Monkey Boy Ephraim, or Big Daddy Mel. And here he is now. See, normally I say to my left and to your right.
That is correct.
However, today to my left and to your right, that's where Mike is. So sitting directly across from me, ladies and gentlemen, directly across from me, here he is from Smallville, Kansas, Clark Kent Burbank.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
And hello, everybody. Well, you know, we beat the odds.
Yep.
We made it to Wichita alive, and we're doing the show from radio station KFH.
All in preparation for the big Las Vegas-style show tonight.
It is Mark 17 at our telephone number, same as it was yesterday, 1-877-365-3636. We will have the story for you of our plane trip out here last night, and of course we have some stories involved with that. I think there are some TV crews going to come in and interview us in just a moment.
Very good. You know, we like to do that on the air, so you'll be able to hear all of that.
I do want you to hear the sights and sounds of radio station KFH, and I think that's how we're going to start today's show. Today, well, first we should tell everybody we're in Wichita because we'll be at the Cotillion tonight with a live Las Vegas-style show. There were people lining up as early as, how early, Robbie?
Like 6 a.m.
6 a.m.
Wow.
People were lining up outside the Cotillion. We thank them very much. The show tonight will include Buzz and his liquid latex. Buzz will be doing cleavages, belly buttons, and, of course, thonged asses.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have the semi-nude feud. We'll have all of our wacky tapes, including the X-rated outtakes. We'll have the Homo Joe Challenge, the Dennis Murphy Challenge, of course, the underwear fashion show. All of that tonight at the Cotillion. If you don't have a ticket already, remember, it don't cost nothing, and it's the reason we came to Wichita. Doors will open for non-ticket holders at 7:15 Central Time tonight.
That's right, Central Wichita time.
Now we are we're in a studio today. We're in a crappy studio, but at least we're in a studio.
Yes, that wasn't always the case, was it?
No, it was not. Now listen, we got to tell you a little bit about this station KFH and a little bit about the people we've come in contact with thus far at KFH.
All of them wonderful.
Mm-hmm. For the most part, really, most of them seem to be real nice.
Yeah, everybody seems to be a little jacked that we're bringing the traveling show in here to their... how many, what are there, 15 radio stations in this one building?
Yeah, I got seven. I got pissed today because I got a call about noon in our hotel, and it was Charles Broyhill, our producer, and he said, well, listen, the station has you guys doing the show from a conference room in the radio station.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, my concern was that if you do the show from a conference room, you don't have the same acoustics as you do doing it from a radio studio. And the goal is to make this show sound like it does every single day when we are in our regular studio.
We would like a cramped little studio instead of a spacious, palatial conference room. We like to be, you know, where there are acoustics, so you know, you don't think there's any difference.
So the program director here, Tony Dushing, had a bit of a problem with it, and now that we're here, we understand why.
Yes.
When we arrived at the station, and incidentally, the station KFH is right by, is it, what was the name of that store we saw come out of here? Was it the Hobby?
Hobby House.
No, Hobby Lobby. Station is right by the Hobby Lobby.
Yeah. You just come right into Wichita.
Kansas.
You stop right by the Hobby Lobby, and I swear to God, we'll have a fantastic time. Nothing quite like it.
Click, click, click. So we're coming in, and we're realizing that we're leaving the downtown Wichita area, and we're coming into an area where there are Home Depots and where there's a Hobby Lobby.
Right.
And in the midst of all of this, there's an office building that holds seven radio stations. The door to the place is wide open, and as we walked in today, people, not people who work here, just regular people, they're coming in and they're walking around, and there's groups of 30 and 40 people at a time walking through the radio station.
You know, it's our greatest fear come to a reality here, that we have people just wandering aimlessly all over the radio station, and we're, you know, people don't realize until they see us, and when they see us, they realize just how frightened of humanity we are.
Well, you know, you guys hear us, for sure, that when we're back at WJFK in D.C., when someone walks by the...
One person walks by
the
window.
Window,
right.
It stops the show.
It freaks us out.
Well, we wondered, why were there so many groups of people walking around? And then I found this memo.
Yes.
See, no matter where we go, even when we're out of town, I still snoop around.
Uh-huh.
And I found this memo to the staff from Tony Douching, who, incidentally, we're pretty sure... is a Nazi. and we don't say that simply because of the way he runs the radio station.
No, it has nothing to do with that. It's simply the look of the man. If you put him in a German uniform in World War II.
You put him in an SS uniform.
My name is Tony Douching. I'm ready for you right now.
We had no idea that he looks, out of every, like, war movie, Tony could have been the evil Nazi villain. Right?
Close-cropped hair.
Yes, he's got those little, like, glasses, you know, those nasty little glasses that they used to wear in the movies.
Beady little Nazi eyes.
Yeah, very scary guy, and he's kind of, I think Tony's probably a little concerned about us, so he's giving off that vibe, and it's just a little weird.
Did you get your fruit platters? We have provided you with an incredible selection of fruits and cake and pastries. We would like you to sample the deli platter, and it will all be, I trust, to your satisfaction.
I understand you do not want to all, you do not want to do your broadcast from the conference room. Why is that?
See, we understand that it's also the thing that you do not want to meet with the clients. Is that true? Well, okay, fancy big city radio people.
Yeah, so we get here today and we have this thing out with him where, and I don't understand why the guy's so insistent we do the show from a conference room. I said, you have 7 radio stations in this one building. Certainly you can find a studio.
Yeah, certainly a production studio. It's not an on-air studio. They can find some place to put us.
Where we could do the show from it. And we got through the whole thing about, well, why do you need that? And it was explaining the acoustics, etc.
It was all really about acoustics. We didn't want to do something that, you know, where it would sound like we're in some kind of bar. We didn't want that.
And now I know the reason, because I found this memo. To staff from Tony, March 17th. Just an update on the Don and Mike Show broadcast from our station. Don and Mike have requested they do not want an audience from here, so there will be no seating available as they broadcast from our location.
Oh, Mr. Douching was planning to have the audience in there with us.
I am sorry.
No.
Again, if you as a staff member want to bring someone in to peek at Don and Mike, that is okay, but remember, you are responsible for your people. I will have 2 of our AM employees up front at the receptionist area, stopping the public from coming in. Keep in mind, the 17th is a business day. This means if anyone's wandering around the building, they will be escorted out. Thanks, Tony.
So, that was his plan all along, to have the studio audience. He obviously didn't realize how antisocial we are.
No, you know, the whole reason for coming to Wichita is to do the show tonight.
Yeah.
From the Cotillion.
That's what we're here for. I mean, we're outside of that, we want to do as normal a show as we possibly can.
That's the whole point.
It's not that we're dicks, but, you know, we're dicks. But, I mean, the fact is we just want to
do a regular radio show.
And when we do this show, we like to hide in our own little cubicle.
Just
and have
like we do at home.
Right. Very little contact. You know, we're not good like that.
So what we've done is they put us in a studio. They were nice enough to find us a production room. What
a studio that I must add is already losing its oxygen content.
What we've done is we have closed all of the blinds, and we have put, like Elvis, we have put newspaper over the window to the door so that effectively we have cut ourselves off from the outside world.
But we are all calm, and we are relaxed, and this is very good. We like it this way. You know, the conference room had this huge window where, you know, even when we were doing the before the show, we're all hanging around and eating some of the lovely pastries they provided for us, and they had the blinds open, so, and there were 400 people out in the hallway, and so...
It's a, like, experiment. Animals.
So Rob and I walk in there, and I sit down, and Rob says, do you want me to close those blinds? I said, that'll look too obvious. Don't do that. Charlie Broyhill walks in. Johnny, the king of antisocial behavior, does a beeline to the blinds and turns them and closes them in front of like 8 people who were looking. And, you know, they had that look on their faces. The blinds closed. Like, what are you doing?
Hey,
what are you doing?
Hey, what are you doing?
Hey.
So listen, we're here. And we're queer, and we're not going skiing.
But we're doing the show.
And it's radio station KFH. I don't know which we should get into first. If we should get into the trip out here, if we should get into the hotel situation, if we should get into Mike versus Charlie Broyhill last night at the airport.
Bastard.
If we should talk about Buzz. We have some Buzz stories from last night.
Wow.
And, hey, Charlie, are the TV people here?
Everyone is here except for the reporter.
Except for the reporter. All right. Well,
isn't that always the way? It's always the talent.
We will press on then without the reporter. And also today on the show, we'll be giving away $1,000.
Wow.
If you have won a prize this week, please make sure you're listening, because at some point we're going to give that away to someone who's won something this week on the show.
Excellent.
So, yesterday, we leave the studios of WJFK. We have to leave about 4:30 East Coast time to catch the plane, because as we mentioned yesterday, you cannot just get on a plane from D.C. and come to Wichita.
Right. Yes, and I have a lot of experiences prior to getting in the mood for flying, but on the plane, I'll tell you once we get to the plane about what it is to be a semi-phobic flyer and kind of endure the very first part of that set the tone. You probably weren't even aware of what freaked me out on that plane.
How could you possibly have been freaked out? You were so bombed.
Oh,
yesterday.
No, let me tell you something, my boy. I have been much more bombed than that before. I remember, you know what they said that I remembered on that plane? When we were sitting down, you know how many times they came over the PA system and they said, we have to push back by, I think it was 6:54. We have to push back by 6:54.
We're going
to
miss the flight window.
We will get a ground delay. And the guy next to me says, well, that's usually bad weather that makes them do that. And I immediately, through all of my medical haze, I immediately gripped the seats and kind of said to myself, well, why? So many hundreds and thousands of questions were in my head.
You. Well, I know you were medicated before we got on the plane. And then,
yes, I was.
And then during the flight, I saw
my friend.
Those giant cans.
Yes.
Kept coming by.
And I had a friend.
Yes, Mike made a new friend on the plane last night.
Great guy. I'd like to say hi to my new buddy Ron. He's probably not listening because he doesn't live in a city where
he probably crashed his car into a tree when he got off the airplane last night.
Well, I hope Ron's doing well back in Atlanta, Georgia. Because that's where my buddy Ron, half Japanese, half Italian, I think he was. That's why he volunteered that to me, and a great guy. We had a great show.
You know, I could hear you guys laughing. I had the headphones on.
What a great guy.
I had the headphones on. I was listening to music, and I could still hear the muted sound of you laughing. And I guess he was telling you stories at one point, because I heard you going, ha, 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 amazing.
He was really a cool guy. And, I love it. The thing, there are two things that make a flight go fast. Either if I am somehow, by some miracle, able to fall asleep, that makes a flight go fast. But better than that is if I meet somebody who is normal that I can talk to. I love it. It'll make the time go bingo like that, and that's exactly what it did. My buddy Ron, who is
Ron,
36 years old, 4 years younger than I am, and he was really just a good guy. We chatted all the way from Washington to Atlanta, and then it's like,
yes,
so long.
Did.
So long, old friend. You know the great thing about meeting people on planes?
What?
You're never going to see them again, so you kind of, you relax and you open up to him. And, sure he got offended when I touched his thigh, but, I mean, we had a wonderful time. We really did.
I had the fattest man of the world sitting next to
me. Were you sitting next to a fatty?
Beyond a fatty. I have never, ever seen this before on an airplane. You know, all the people were late getting on, which is why they kept saying that stuff. If we don't get out of here by 6:54, we're going to miss the window.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was one of the last to get on the plane. And he sat down in the seat next to me, and immediately the first thing he does is he rings the button for the stewardess. And I go, oh, listen, you got some balls. You come on this plane 20 minutes late, and now you have to have a drink. And I'm thinking all this, and the stewardess came over and he said, the seat belt doesn't fit.
Oh, no.
Have you ever heard of that before?
I never have.
A guy so fat, the seat belt didn't fit. And she said, I don't know what to do. And this guy's obviously been in the situation before.
Right.
He said, go up to the front. There's an extension in the front. It's right above where the loudspeaker is and where the life jackets are. Upper left.
So he was
quarter.
A professional fan.
Yeah. So she goes up and gets it.
Oh.
And it was about 8 inches long. And what it was it had a buckle on one side and the thing you put in the buckle on the other, and it simply made his seatbelt an extension.
Right. So basically taking the maximum, like, 48-inch seatbelt and turning it into a 56-inch seatbelt?
Yeah.
There you go. Rob, don't thumb up me on that one. I'll say that right now. You never, ever required that, did you?
Not yet.
Not yet. No, you're going in the opposite direction.
Right. So this guy was also one of these guys. And I can't really bust his balls because he said nothing. He
right.
said nothing to me. He stayed on his own side of the
street. Were there any sounds or odors?
One of these guys.
Oh.
And it was just regular breathing. But his regular breathing was like...
Labored.
Oh. And he noticed, I give him credit, he's an eagle eye. He noticed as we were getting on the airplane, they had those, it was one of those deals where they have the lunches in the bags. And we didn't know if...
You and I get the idiot award for that.
Well, we didn't know if we were going to get a meal or not on the plane, so both Mike and I took one of these lunches in a bag, and we went back to our seats. And Mike said to the stewardess, hey, do we need these, or are we going to get something to eat? And she said, no, you don't need them. You're going to get something to eat.
She snatched them out of our hands.
Well, no, she didn't snatch mine.
She took mine.
I kept mine.
You kept yours?
And what I did was I put mine in the seat in front of me, because you never know what you're going to get on an airplane. I figured,
did the man to your left eat it?
You are reading my mind.
He really did eat it?
The guy to my left, before we even took off, after he got his extra 8 inches of seatbelt,
right,
he leaned over to me and he said, excuse me. And I said, yes. He said, is that one of those lunches? I said, yeah. He said, I'm famished. I've not had anything to eat.
Oh, God.
And I thought, for
15 minutes.
Since when? Since you ate the small child while you were waiting in line to get on the airplane? I said, no, help, help yourself. So he ate everything in the bag. He ate everything. And to top things off, when the meal was served,
yes,
and we had a nice little steak, and there was some vegetables and stuff, he asked if he could finish my meal.
Oh, my God.
Really? How gross is that?
Did you say no?
I said, go ahead.
And he ate the rest of your meal?
It didn't bother me. I ate the meat, and I ate some of the vegetables. I didn't eat the potatoes. I don't eat starch. I didn't eat the potatoes.
Is there a chance that I could finish your meal? You wouldn't have any gum, would you?
He took my plate and just scraped the potatoes and the other green beans and stuff onto his plate. And then he asked if he could have my piece of pie. And I said, sure. Absolutely.
Go. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
What would you estimate his weight to be?
I don't know. I don't know how to gauge a guy. I'm not good. I couldn't have
over 300.
Oh yes, 400. I'd say maybe 350 pounds.
Boy, that, you know what? That's allow a little extra runway fat.
Absolutely.
That's pilot. That's pilot factor fat.
I mean, the fattest guy I've ever seen on an airplane ever. Oh, and as we were on our way to the airport,
yes,
we originally had a plan where it was going to be Rob and Buzz and Charlie were going to ride in Rob's car. They were all going to ride over to the airport together.
Right. Well, the plan originally was Rob and Charlie and Mike were going to ride over to the airport. That was the original plan.
Oh,
Mike.
And then Buzz honed in on that?
Yes, he did.
Yes, I did.
And as soon as Buzz honed in on that, Charlie dropped out of that deal and said to me that he wanted to ride with me. And I normally like riding by myself.
I have a theory about you and Charlie. It's a new theory about when people are going to talk. And I discovered that you and Charlie do not speak to anyone on an airplane. However, if you are seated next to each other, talk about
you
it.
Are
shut up.
You are totally
shut
overreacting to this.
It was
you are overreacting to this.
It was animated, hands up in the air. You know, talking about your various video games and whatever you were discussing.
We were not discussing video games.
Talking about the basic similarities between your backgrounds. I don't know what it was, but there was
talking about work.
There was an animated discussion going on. At one point, didn't you pull out a magazine and you were showing him something in the magazine?
We were, if you
something
must
something football, get yes. John Madden related
we,
or
no,
something like
we
that.
No, we were having a discussion. We're going to do a Redskins draft show.
Oh, okay.
On
that's
April
right.
15th, and that's what we were discussing.
Well, I'll tell you something right now. Having flown with both of you many times, you in particular, flying across the country, where I will occasionally, if I speak too long, I'll get the sigh, which means shut up, Mike, and look out the window, which I do now. But I'll tell you something. I've never seen you more animated on an airplane.
He was not talking about the Boston Red Sox.
Right, right, or his late father. I know. He had more stimulating things to discuss.
I didn't mention your late father.
Happy
okay?
St. Patrick's Day, Dad. I understand that.
I didn't mention that. I didn't say that.
Let me tell you something, because we were on a small jet, one of those small commuter jets, on the way from Atlanta to Wichita, and I'm sitting by myself. Fortunately, it was a real small jet, and I had a whole row to myself. Rob and I were sitting next to each other for starters, and then we realized that the seat in back, 5 seconds went by, and I realized the two seats in back of me were empty. And
wait,
so,
after you got done hugging him?
After, yes.
It looked like you were virtually making out with him.
Well, he got down, and I in order to make it more comfortable, and I've known Rob for a long time. I put my arm around him because it was like there was no room. Rob and I, seriously, if you measured us from my left shoulder to the end of his right shoulder,
I know, it's a lot of room.
Know, that's seriously the length of the jet.
Yeah.
So he moved into the back seat, and then I was kind of, it was a very bumpy ride, and I was just in that mode to chill out. You know, I was done. My deal a meal drink cards were all already in their folder, so I was done drinking for the day. And so that's the time when it's time to just rest, have a Diet Coke, and prepare for the next day. And I hear this, all I hear, you know, because it was a very noisy plane, you hear, and I'm like, where's that coming from? And I turn to my right, and it's Don and Charlie, yes, just hands gyrating all over the place.
Buzz, would you shut up on this?
I saw it with my own eyes.
Did you, Buzz? Listen, Buzz, you're sitting 20 rows behind.
Yes,
but just knock it off, will you? Knock it off. I'm going to get to you in just a second.
Okay. But, you know, and for you, I understand, because I've known you on airplanes. If you're sitting next to somebody who's interesting, or you meet somebody, even on our last trip out to Los Angeles, you talk to a guy on the way out there, and you know,
you're the guy with a ponytail, right?
But it's not unusual for me to see you having a conversation on an airplane. But I'll tell you, the miracle, the breakthrough, the boy coming out of his shell, who's now doing his best to ignore me as I'm discussing this right now, is Charles Broyhill.
Well, and I do agree. That's what I wanted to start to tell you about. That I was on the way to the airport last night, and I was,
don't moon me, Charlie. Don't moon me.
And I wasn't thrilled about this because I enjoy driving to the airport by myself.
Right.
I had Charlie in the car with me.
But of all the people you were going to drive to the airport with, that was the best person to take with you, right? Because, I mean, you figure there won't be any conversation.
Could generally be no conversation.
Right.
We could just, you know, put a CD in and that's it, we go. Well, we leave, we get in the car, and right away, he starts talking.
Yeah.
And I think he's talking to me. But no, he's talking on, you know, as we described yesterday.
Sure, one of his Al Franken antenna kits.
On his hidden telephone.
Right.
Okay, where he's got the plug in his ear and he's got the microphone that's attached to his collar. So he starts talking, and I realize that before you know it, I'm inconveniencing him.
Right.
Because I hear him saying, no, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Don has the CD on, and he has the window rolled down.
Yeah.
Now, I have the window rolled down because he doesn't like cigar smoke.
Right.
And it's my car, I'm going to smoke a cigar on the way, but I figure because, you know, I'm going to be a nice host, I roll the window down.
So then I figure, that sounds funny.
So I say, you know, F him. I roll the window up. Meanwhile, I get nothing back from him, like, hey, thanks for turning the CD player off and rolling the window up.
No, that wouldn't be Charlie.
But what you should know that's interesting is I did hear his entire side of a conversation that lasted 15 minutes between him and, I don't think it was one of his FBs.
Right.
I think it was between him and his regular gal Friday.
Ah, the one that came to the Christmas party?
Yes.
Oh, that's still alive, huh?
Bingo. I want to tell you something.
Okay.
For all of his talk about how he's aloof and that he, you know, he doesn't like to communicate.
Was he suckling the teat?
I want to tell you something. He wasn't suckling the teat. You know what he is?
What?
He is PW.
Ah.
He is pussy whipped worse than me.
Really?
Worse than you.
So you got a little
yes, dear.
Worse than Rob.
Wow.
He is
wow.
pussy whipped worse wow. than Rob Spiewak.
So, I mean, he was saying things like, well, of course I'll do that for you.
It was totally on the defensive.
Really?
It was, his part of the conversation was, well, I'm sorry. Well, I'm sorry. Well, no, I didn't know. Okay, well, I promise I'll call you as soon as I get there. I will. Yes, I will.
Yes, dear.
Okay, if you say so.
I'd love to help you with that, and I'm sorry it didn't work out because I'm a big pussy man.
It was just a different side of Charles Broyhill,
wow.
and it lasted pretty much all the way from Route 50 to when we got to Dulles Airport. That's how long this conversation went on.
That is incredible. Well, if I'd known he was that sensitive, maybe he wouldn't have angered me so much.
So we get to the airport, and of course I asked him about that. As soon as he hung up the phone, I said, wow, she's got her hook. In you. Listen, I said, you might as well be married. Listen to the way that you're kowtowing to her.
Not married. Good.
Yes. Good lady.
I said, which one is she?
Christmas party.
Christmas party.
Christmas party.
Pretty one.
You Christmas all, party.
You all stared at her.
And then he did give me a little insight. I said, well, what was going on? What were you discussing with her?
She thinks I'm grumpy.
No. Well, I can't imagine why that would be the case.
That's the truth. So we get to the airport, we park the car, and of course with Charles Broyhill, who is admittedly in better shape than me or you or anybody. He runs every day. He runs goddamn track. We get out of the car, and we're making our way through the airport, and he can't just walk.
Right.
He can't just walk. He has to do the double time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, oh, yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
And, of course, because I immediately think that it's some kind of an unspoken challenge, I start double timing to keep up with him.
You know, I can relate to that, because fortunately I was with Robin Buzz, and, you know, at Dulles Airport, you've got that little walkway where you have to kind of haul your stuff up a hill, and between Rob Buzz, we were like tubercular Clydesdales going up this little walkway. I mean, you could just hear the breathing, and then we get flying to the level ground, and we all kind of go, okay, slow down. We're not any of those people that you see walking on the escalator. Later, that'll never happen with us.
He's one of those types. And it was as we made our way from the parking lot inside, upstairs to get the ticket, boom, everything. He's flying by, and I'm having a heart attack to keep up with him.
Right.
We did see a celebrity, though. We saw the guy. Is it Everclear?
Yeah.
Is it that? Down, 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 down. I will buy you a new house.
Oh, famous singer.
You know, the guy with the bleached hair and the glasses?
Yeah, I couldn't pick him out of a lineup, but
we saw him.
But he's a famous guy.
We saw him immediately. We both recognized him.
MTV fixture, am I right about that?
Yeah, we walked by, we said, who is that guy? Mm-hmm. And Charlie right away said, Everclear.
Right.
It's Everclear. Look, 30 seconds till shuttle leaves. And then all of a sudden, we're having another race.
Right.
Because it's 30 seconds until the shuttle leaves. And incidentally, the shuttle is like one of those cattle cars that Adolf Hitler used to have.
Oh, man, it's horrible. Mm. It is horrible.
I mean, they cram in 100 people into these little shuttle buses at Dulles Airport that maybe on the best day could hold 75 people.
Well, there was a guy on our shuttle that, I'll tell you right now, the strangest man, almost bordering on, he was either petrified with fear, he might have had Tourette's, in which case I don't begrudge him what he was doing because...
Love the Tourette's.
He was on there, and I'm looking straight ahead. I'm actually looking down at my suitcase, trying not to make eye contact with anybody, and I hear, before the machine that takes us out to the terminal starts, I hear... And ours, like your cattle car, was actually jammed with people. It was it was unbelievably
way
crowded.
Way too many people.
And I hear this... And I'm like, what the F is going on? And I look up and I see it's a guy with a nice business suit on, and he's it's a little rumpled, kind of looking like the death of a salesman. And he's sitting there going, and then the guy gets on the driver gets on the shuttle, and then you hear the door close, and he starts getting a little more agitated. He goes, and I am 2 feet away from him. And I look up at him, and I realize, for some reason, I feel sorry for the guy. I'm not going to give him the look like, what the hell are you humming for?
You realize he was disturbed, maybe.
He might have been, but he looked like a businessman. He's got the regular business little Val pack with him. He's got the suit. Looks like he's going home from a business trip. But he's twitching, too. Yeah. So he's going... The lady next to me with her whole family is looking up, and she looks up at him, and he smiles at the kids. And then the lady, instead of smiling back, puts her arm in front of her children as if to say...
to shield them.
Stay away from the evil humming man. And he's going... Then the thing starts to roll, and he goes in to the symphony. He goes into Aida. He's going, because it's getting louder, and as the machine is getting louder, he's going, and then finally, it's almost like it's keyed into the machine, to the engine of the shuttle, because as it begins to slow down, the machine goes, and he's going, and then it stops, and he's going, and the doors open on the shuttle, and he goes,
That was
and
it?
He stops. And he walks on, never to be seen again. But Rob was in a different part of the shuttle. You were far away from where I was, and you could hear him.
I heard him coming, and I heard him going. It was like in a little alcove where they have like a column in the middle.
Yeah.
So I got that place so I could be the first one off, and I hear coming up behind me. And then it's like...
I know. And you can't see that. You can't see the twitch on the air. I mean, I was feeling this because the twitch was really like with his nose. It was like a rabbit's nose where he's going.
I know what you mean.
So all I felt was sympathy. I'm like, either he is paralyzed with fear because he's claustrophobic, doesn't like being around these people, or he's got some condition. I didn't put it on a very sympathetic level. You know, because I'm in that mode that we're going to travel and, you know, I might die. So that's the way I want it.
On our shuttle, on our cattle car, we had a couple of real, real hot stews.
Oh, really?
Standing across from us. And both Charlie and I, it was unsaid, we're standing on this shuttle, and we're looking, and we're going, man, those girls are hot. Until they spoke. And then when they spoke, it was, hello. What flight are you going to? So it was obvious they were British. But
that doesn't turn you on?
No, wait. Hold on, I'm getting to it.
Okay.
Still hot, right?
Right.
Again, we make eye contact like, hot British stews.
Yeah.
And then we're eavesdropping. I see both of us. We're looking at we're up and down from the head of the top of the head to the tip of the toes.
Right.
And it wasn't until one of them made a funny and they smiled and they had these big look like goofy teeth. You know those Austin Powers fake teeth?
Oh, sure, British teeth.
You know the British, they have no fluoride in their water, so their teeth are awful.
Still to this day.
And it was like, it ruined this perfect fantasy.
Hello, look at my plastic teeth.
And all of a sudden, these girls are like, hello. Oh, that's so funny. I had to go to Newark. And these big, giant choppers.
Rotted kernels of corn.
Awful, awful teeth. Okay, you know what? Do a break, because we're not done yet telling you how we got out here.
Right.
And we still have to talk about how we abandoned Buzz at the airport in Atlanta.
Yes, we did. Yes, indeed, because he was simply too slow.
That's right. Let's do a quick timeout. We're live in Wichita. Be at the Cotillion tonight. More show coming right up.
This is the Dugger Off the Muckle, Don and Mike.
All right, we are back today from radio station KFH in Wichita. We will have more on our trip out here in just a moment. But right now, we have a TV lady in the studio with us.
You know, we never met a TV lady we didn't love. And so we, they said they're going to send a camera crew down.
And I want to tell you something. As opposed to the cows that I saw on television this morning doing the local news.
It's a beautiful TV lady right here.
A real grade A piece of ass interviewing us right now.
We are very excited. Hi, TV lady. Enter and sign in, please.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Pruitt.
Jennifer,
to see you guys.
And you are from Channel...
I'm from Channel 3.
Channel
KSN.
3. See, now that's good. Generally, the lower a station's number, the more credibility it has. I mean, like, if you were with Station 58 or something like that, that would mean they're a crappy station.
Now, Jennifer, how did you get this horrible assignment of coming out and videotaping the two disc jockeys?
That's what I asked my news director.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah.
I mean, this to me, I mean, it's just my observation. This seems far away from anchoring. You know what I mean? I would think if you were doing any kind of the real investigative stuff, you know, you just got just try harder. That's what I'm telling you.
Well, did you screw up your last story? Is that why you're here today?
I think I must have. Yes. But
so when they gave you the story, what did they say? They said, hey, guess what? The baby rapers are coming to Wichita. Guess what? Satan and his accomplice are coming to Wichita.
A good question.
How did they put it to you? What was the storyline supposed to be?
Well, I found out about an hour ago.
Oh, really?
And they said, keep your coat on. You're going over to KFH to interview Don and Mike. And I've seen your show before, and I was petrified.
That follows because that's the afterthought. See, it either falls into the category the horrible guys are coming to town, or it's simply, oh, yeah, and the disc jockeys are in town, so go over and... So we were kind of... You would classify us then as the afterthought, right? We're the afterthought from your news department?
No.
I'm just kidding.
No, we're not talking about you guys coming to town.
I'm sure your station already did the story about the bagel eating contest this morning or whatever it is they had downtown. And
there was one about daffodils breaking, you know, don't let the stems break due to the ice cover.
Yeah.
That was hard-hitting. I was watching that this morning, and that was actually a whole segment. And I said, okay, now, when's the other news going to come on? And nope, that was it. We'll be right back with the weather forecast, and I'm like, what?
So how long do you think this will make it tonight on the 6 o'clock news? Will this be a feature, or will this be at the very end of the news where they just run awful pictures of Mike and myself, and they say, guess what? Those awful guys are in town today. Do you think it'll be a real piece?
You guys are big news. You guys are big news today.
Really?
So, yeah.
Really? Well, here we are peppering you with all of these questions where it's technically your job to come in and ask us some questions.
Let me ask you one
turn?
More, though.
Okay.
Who is the celebrity you think you most resemble?
I knew that was coming. I've not really given it a lot of thought, but probably, I don't know, Jane Pauley or something.
Little Deborah Norville.
Mm-hmm. A little Deborah Norva. Is that okay? I can't read
that's
you.
That's fine.
A little Bridget Fonda-y, I think.
Yeah, a little Bridget Fonda. Right. Little Deborah Norville.
Yes.
I mean, TV material all the way.
Cute.
The kind of woman that walks into a building and you know it's TV time. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you do know that.
Cute.
You look at us and you know it's time to run for your lives.
Good looking.
Okay, right. So is it my turn?
Yes, go ahead. Interview us.
We're ready.
Okay. What do you guys think of Wichita?
Oh, stop it now. Stop that. What do you want me to say?
Okay, you've just become the kicker.
Okay.
At the very end of the show.
No, he didn't mean that.
Kidding. It's fantastic.
I usually handle this part of it. Here, give me the camera over here.
Yeah.
We're always delighted to come to Wichita. We love the people and we love the city. And we hope we can get back here again real soon because we always have such a great time.
Man is lying.
We'd love you to have us out again. Thank you very much.
Okay, now, what's the real scoop?
What's the real scoop? Really? What have we really seen in Wichita? Our hotel and the car ride over here to the radio station, which is generally a piece of crap.
And the real answer to that is the second time we've come to Wichita. We come out here because...
Third time, Mike.
Third time, that's right.
We've been here
three times, and we come out here because the show is very popular here. We have great fans. We get a lot of calls from Wichita. And that is how we determine where we're going to go. And if the radio station wants to have us come out, and we have a lot of listeners out here, that's how we do it. That's why we decided to come to Wichita again.
Okay, great. And
now you can ask me a question, though, because I know all that stuff with Mike, all the nice stuff will get on.
It always does, aren't you? I mean, we've been doing this a long time, and I always answer the question seriously.
You do.
I'm sorry, I always
ask me a question now. Give me a chance. I'll answer it seriously.
Okay, I know earlier this week, are you concerned about the authorities cooperating with us? You know about our nudity ban and all
the
of that.
The police.
Yeah.
No, we're not concerned at all because we don't do anything that would get us in trouble with the police.
Right.
Okay.
You could use that. Could you use that?
Right.
So,
yeah, that's why you never get onto the list.
I know.
Because you just can't do it. You can't do it.
I'm sorry, I can't.
You can't give the straight BS answer.
I can't.
So tell us what your show is going to be like tonight.
Raunchy. Really, girls in their underpants, guys in their... Again, you won't run this, will you? You won't run this.
Our show will be...
Mike, go ahead. You know, I'm just not going to be on TV tonight. Let's be. I don't care.
Our show will be a ribald look at the cultural mores and societal hang-ups that make us all who we are. We're truly looking forward to a wonderful, rowdy, rambunctious evening with our fans.
Okay, are you going to cooperate with police tonight?
We never have a problem with police. We cooperate, and that's the truth. We cooperate with everybody. Ask this man if we have any problem with the police. We never do. We really don't. That's the truth. We do not have problems with the police. We really, really don't. Do we?
Cops hassle us all the time.
He's lying.
No, we have no problem with the police. Love the police. Love the fact that they're out there, that right. They help us keep things under control.
He won't tell you, but this man right here will meet with whatever authorities are at the joint that we're going to do our show.
That is true.
And he will meet with them, and he says, you know, what can we do, what can't we do? And we tailor that to whatever the, you know, standards are, the standards and practices for the area.
Okay.
So tell us about you.
I noticed. Wait, I have another question.
Yes, ma'am.
So, do you have tickets left? Can people buy them at the door? Because I know earlier this week...
Buy them. We don't charge.
Get them at the door.
We don't charge. Starting at 7:15 tonight... Probably get my camera time, because this
Go
is
ahead.
Where I can't
Go ahead.
Get on.
Yeah, promote it.
Hi there. Hi. 7:15 tonight, the doors will be open. 7:15 for anybody who wants to walk up. You're so hot. I can't do it. I couldn't give you a straight answer.
Oh, my God, you're killing me.
I'm sorry. I can't give you a straight answer.
You are killing me.
You. 7:15, the doors open for anybody who doesn't have a ticket.
Okay.
Who hasn't already gone to one of these dog and pony shows the radio station's put on.
Let me tell you something right now. What's your first name again?
Jennifer.
Jennifer, let me tell you something right now. If people are expecting to come out to our show and see just filth, they're going to be sorely disappointed. Because we like to think we have a family show. No, we don't. It's for adults only.
It's for the Manson family.
It's for adults only.
For the Addams family.
But it's, you know, what it is, the show, and people, you know, with all the nudity crap that you hear about... We have a fun time.
Don't take any film of my bald spot. Come on, please. That's awful, because that's all that'll end up is on television, is my goddamn bald spot.
We have a funny show. It's funny, first. It's titillating, second. You see? That's the way we...
Titillating.
Titillating.
So, are you done? Did you need anything else?
Let's see.
Did you really take notes? Let me see your notes.
I did.
Impressions of Wichita, authorities cooperating. How was your flight, Mike? Mike got bombed on the flight. Mike got bombed on the flight, so it was a great flight.
I did not.
Tickets left at front door. Yes, sold out. We don't
sell tickets. How would you describe your Las Vegas-style show? You spelled my name wrong. It's not with a J. It's with a G.
Okay.
Why did you come to Wichita?
I think you've answered all of those.
Good journalism.
Is there anything else? Are there, like, phone numbers in there?
Nope.
Let me see.
That's it. That's all she got. There's her page of notes.
Who's the lady that anchors the news on your station, your main anchor?
Our main anchor, Lauren Perkins.
Okay, page two, it says, Lauren Perkins. Why is she there and I'm here? It's
that
just
not
fair.
There.
Damn it. It's just not fair.
And then it has the C word written over and over
That's
again.
That's horrible. What are you, just that doodling that you do or what in that little notebook? It's amazing to me.
How long have you been in Wichita, honey?
I've been here for, let's see, about 2 years. Just came from D.C. 2 years ago.
Oh, you came from D.C.?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Wow, what kind of career move is that?
Where were you in D.C.? What station?
Well, actually, I was working as a political correspondent for several stations.
Doing the freelance thing?
Well, while I was still in graduate school.
Oh, okay. Where'd you go to graduate school?
Northwestern.
Oh, okay. All right.
Want to take a sex quiz?
No.
Oh, come on, really?
Do I have a choice?
Well, it would be nice if you just take a quick sex quiz.
We always have celebrities on the show and ask them various sex questions, and you are perfectly free to not answer the questions that you feel uncomfortable with, but if you could answer the ones that you're not uncomfortable with, we'd sincerely appreciate it.
I'll just pare it down to just a few basic questions.
Okay.
Have you ever had no-no sex?
No comment.
That means yes.
I think she answers, so that means she knows.
That means yes. She said no comment for no sex.
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever had a lesbian experience?
No.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever made love in your parents' house?
I'm not going there.
Let's
take a different.
Oh, you don't want to take the quiz anymore?
No.
Have you ever had hot interracial love?
She's blushing.
These are questions that we have all answered ourselves. Mm-hmm.
Who is the biggest celebrity that we've given this quiz to? I'm trying to think. Because there have been a couple.
Probably like...
Jim Nance, maybe? Did we...
From CBS, Jim Nance.
Right.
Yeah. That's about it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, all of us took it. Both took it.
We all took it. We all took it. Every detailed, sorted question in there.
Have you ever watched porno?
No.
You've never watched porno?
No.
This woman is lying.
Gentlemen, phony applause, please.
This woman is lying. Have you ever been in porno?
No.
Okay. All right. That's not on the quiz.
No, that's not.
You made that one up.
All right. It was very nice meeting you.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for coming by. I hope you got plenty of material for the news. I know most of it will end up in the cutting room toilet.
Are you going to run this on the 6?
Yes, we are.
Okay, beautiful.
She's going to take it back to the editor.
Are you going to let us in your show tonight?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Camera?
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
All right.
Come back to the dressing room.
The dressing room. We'll be in a toilet.
Come on. Yeah, sure. Come on by.
What the hell?
Thank you.
Yeah, come on by. And thank you, Mr. Cameraman. What's your name?
Kevin Steeble.
Kevin, you want to say hi to anybody, Kevin?
Not really.
Okay, thank you, Kevin.
Kevin, you want to take sex quiz?
No.
No, Kevin doesn't want to take the sex quiz. All right.
Very uptight.
Did you go to Kent State or are you just wearing the shirt?
Kansas State.
Oh, I thought
Kansas
it was Kansas State. I'm sorry.
Poor dad in Ohio. Kansas State.
Bye.
See ya.
So long. Farewell. Auf Wiedersehen to TV Hottie.
There goes
my hat. I did TV. Just very nice. Very nice lady. Very nice. Thanks, m'lady.
Okay.
What is this, Rob? What are you bringing in here? What the hell is this?
A listener dropped you off a poster.
A listener dropped us off a poster.
It's not
too psychotic.
Like a homemade John Hinckley type picture.
Well, that is weird.
Okay. All right, that lady from the TV station was wonderful.
Have you ever been in porno?
I have just three words that could really further her career.
I know.
Rembrandt. Tooth whitener.
Oh, no. My...
What?
Oh, you.
You spit out your water.
I spit out my water. I'm sorry.
Did you check out her teeth?
Yeah, I loved them. They were beautiful.
All right. She didn't exactly have TV teeth.
I know.
She had radio teeth.
Yeah,
that's what she had.
Teeth like ours.
She was very nice, and we thank Channel 3, NBC, in Wichita for coming by to interview us.
Absolutely. Sorry for spitting the water out, Rob.
We love that when we're on the local news. A quick break, but first, Big Gum Jim, toe tapping, touch tones, please. It's time for a Caller 100. I should be hearing those touch tones anytime, right?
Big Gum Jim is now rapidly racing to the sound effect where he's going to play the touch tones.
Big Gum Jim, that would be in the rack to your right.
Well, I just have the phone over here. You didn't tell me the phone.
I don't think I'll do a contest today.
Well, very good.
Randy Boff. I want to be the program director. I could be a good program director.
Jeremy, clap your job. Jeremy, clap your job. Jeremy, clap your job.
Caller 100 right now. Prize package selected especially for you, and you'll be the last person to qualify for today's $1,000. Call the lovely Toya.
Ah, Toya.
She of the non-swallowing type. She's on the phone. 1-877-365-3636. Good luck. We'll be right back.
This is here to solve the riddle of the tale. Don and Mike.
All right, Big Gum Jim, hit those toe-tapping touch tones one time. Time for caller 100 right now. Plunk down any line, Jimmy. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, who's
hey,
this?
How you doing?
Hello, who is this, please?
This is Scott.
Hi, Scott. Where are you from?
Sacramento.
Scott, you're very lucky because you're not in Wichita with us. Thank you for listening, my friend. KHTK Radio in Sacramento, caller 100. You won the Sopranos prize pack. That means you win the hat, the shirt, the CD, and the book. Sopranos, our favorite show, Sunday night, 9 Eastern, 8 Central, only on HBO. But wait, you're the last person to qualify for this week's free money, $1,000 from OnMoney.com. Bring all your accounts together with a single easy-to-use statement from OnMoney.com. See and manage your bank and investment accounts, credit cards, travel reward programs with OnMoney.com. Get your money connected. We're going to give that money away later in today's show. Please make sure you're listening because that's the only way you can win.
Yes, sir, Billy.
All right. Thank you, Billy. Hold the line, please. That's the only drawback to going on the road and doing the show is that we have that slight
delay,
half-second delay when we try to take live telephone calls.
Yeah, we hear what sounds like a little echo, and then the caller is always just a beat behind us when we're talking to him. But other than that, it's just great to be on the road.
Of course, I don't think that'll really matter when we call Ireland later in today's show, when we make our annual calls to the pubs of Ireland to find the drunkest guy on St. Patrick's Day.
And if we haven't said so formally, may we say that to all our listeners today. Happy, happy St. Patrick's Day.
So listen, let's finish up with the story on the way out here, because then we do have a couple of surprises today from the studios of Wichita radio station KFH. And a reminder that tonight we'll be on stage at 8 o'clock Central Time. 8 o'clock, we hit the stage at the Cotillion.
The Cotillion, a building that was designed for cotillions. We were talking about that before the show. I guess right. When they, you know, you wear your corsages and stuff like that and get, you know, go to a dance.
Las Vegas-style show tonight with Buzz, liquid latexing, girls' buttocks, cleavage, and also belly buttons.
Hey.
We'll have the semi-nude feud, all of our wacky tapes and X-rated outtakes, the Homo Joe Challenge, Dennis Murphy Challenge, the underwear fashion show. Now, local Wichita law states there can be no nudity.
Right.
We got to tell you this right now, that I know you've heard us do a Las Vegas-style shows in other cities where we've had 24, 25 people, more than that on stage at once naked. If you get naked tonight, you will be arrested. The Wichita police are going to be there.
They've asked us to say that, and they mean it. And, you know, that's the way it's going to be. But we guarantee you it's going to be a great show anyway, and we're going to have a fantastic time.
Yeah, you'll have a good time. We'll drop the F-bomb. We'll drop the C-bomb. We'll drop the S-bomb.
Sure.
Make you feel good at home. And, lots of times, frankly, it's better seeing some people in their underwear than seeing...
Some people should actually keep their underwear on.
Seeing everything they have doing in their underwear.
Some people shouldn't even strip down to their underwear.
So that is tonight at the Cotillion. We will see you there. So listen, let me finish up getting out here, because we're getting to, I think, the best part of the story, the most fun, and also a mini fight between Mike and Charlie Broyhill. We get on the plane. The plane finally leaves D.C. I'm next to the fat guy who's eating my food and has got the extra seat belt. Mike's next to his new good friend from Atlanta.
Ron.
And everything's great.
Ron McGee.
The plane lands in Atlanta, and here's the routine. Mike and I get off the plane, and Right. Then we wait for everybody else to get off.
Okay? Yeah, we usually linger, and then the whole crew goes, if we're going to connect, we go to our next plane, and if we're not,
we wait for everyone else to get off.
Get off, baby.
Come on, get off. Yeah. Well, let me tell you how much time old man Burbank takes getting off the airplane. We get off the plane. Mike says to me, hey, I got to go to the bathroom. Watch my bag.
Mm-hmm.
So Mike goes to take a squirt. In the meantime, when Mike is off going to the bathroom, Broyhill's off the plane, and Rob is off the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know what else I wanted to say?
What's that?
To you.
What's that?
You know, you had the nerve yesterday. You bust my balls when I called Toya sweetie.
Yes.
How many times yesterday did you call that stewardess sweetie?
I called her sweetie a million times.
And the loudest,
yes.
When I got off the plane because I was a couple rows ahead of you. As I was walking down the ramp, I heard real loud behind me, "Take care of that arm, sweetie."
Yeah, she hurt her arm. The flight attendant that was on her plane.
Sweetie.
Hurt her arm. And did you hear what she said back to me?
What?
She said, "You have a good flight, honey." So I gave her a sweetie, and she gave me back a honey. And I'm very happy. I stand by that sweetie. She actually said she pulled a muscle in her arm where, and I don't know if you saw this at the beginning of the flight, she was holding her arm.
I saw her holding her arm.
In agony, and then I guess it got better towards the end of the flight. But she was a funny flight attendant because when people, I guess they had to really get all the people on that plane so we'd be able to taxi out and take off on time before the weather delay. And she was making no secrets about the people that were slamming into her and bumping into her. Did you notice that when they'd go by her?
She reminded me of TV's Jack A.
She was a lot like Jack A.
Stuffy.
She said, "Okay, I can only move so fast. I can only move. Excuse me." And you know, you'd see the people, the weary travelers with their big duffel bags hitting her in the head and stuff. So then she pulled a muscle and I stand by it. She's sweetie.
Sweetie. So Mike leaves and he goes to the bathroom. Oh, and also Mike says to me, I don't know if it was before you went to the bathroom or after you went to the bathroom,
right.
When you said, "I've got some kind of a wet spot on the side of my pants."
Oh, I didn't know what the hell that was. It wasn't me.
He said, it's on my leg. It's not like where I would have gone to the bathroom.
Well, hold on. I get off the plane, and I really have no idea. I did not use the facilities on the plane. I didn't spill anything on the plane, and I don't understand why the left part of my leg, it's like water. The only thing I could think is that the next person that was sitting in the seat, I guess the previous person had somehow dumped something in the seat and that I was sitting in that the whole plane ride.
Here's what he says then. He goes like this on his hand. He rubs his hand up and down and it's right by his buttock area on his pants. And he goes, "Man, my pants are so wet." He goes, "Here, smell my hand."
I said, "Does it smell like airliner?"
I said, "I don't want to smell your hand." And then we went.
Rob smelled my hand.
I know.
Rob was nice enough to smell my hand.
I know.
Rob,
he did.
Come over here, Rob. What was your impression of the smell?
It was like a bathroom disinfectant. It wasn't unpleasant. It just smelled medicinal.
It was just funny that you were standing in the middle of the airport, you're rubbing against your buttock, and you go, "Here. Smell my hand."
I was absolutely
really offended that I wouldn't smell your hand.
I was really, I was furious. I was really.
You asked me quite a few times.
I was just amazed at the fact that there was this moisture on my leg. Rob speculated that they had put cleaner on the seat because somebody had some kind of stain there before I got there. And, you know, I was wobbly enough after that flight where I was just wondering what the hell happened. The guy, my buddy Ron, he didn't spill anything. I was sitting next to him the whole time.
So Mike goes to the bathroom, comes back. We go through the whole thing with smell my hands, smell my pants. In the meantime, Broyhill's gotten off the plane. Rob's gotten off the plane. And just about everybody's off the plane except for old man Burbank. Now, at this point, we see one of the airport ladies driving one of those big-ass carts.
Right?
And somebody says, "Hey, will you give us a ride?" And she said, "Sure, get on."
Uh-oh.
So
we all jump onto this tramia, which is really designed for people that are infirm to go from gate to gate. We all pile into this this little machine, and then the big debate, we wait for Buzz?
Now, and I've got to sell myself out, Buzz, that I was first one to say, "Buzz is not here. Everybody has gotten off the plane. Let's go." And you should really thank Mike for staying as long as we stay.
Thank well, you, I mean, I just...
Mike gave you an additional 30 seconds on
yeah, nice.
And timed it on his watch.
It might have been less than that, because I think I sold you 5 seconds short there. Buzz, we did wait. What the hell were you doing on that airplane?
Invariably, when we take a trip, I end up on row 30 of a 32-flight plane. And since people won't allow me to go through them, since 32-seat plane, you yes, mean? Yes, the 32 rows. Right. And I usually am on row 30, and since I can't pass through solid objects, I have to wait for these slow, dumb people in front of me to get out of the way before I can get off the plane.
Have you ever thought about maybe just shoving right past them?
I did that, actually. I was the first one out of my...
He's nice.
Out of my section, I was the first one out of.
All I know...
I'm nice.
As we made the decision...
Mm-hmm. They're so nice, they picked me as their spokesman, because I'm nice.
Right. I'm nice.
As we made the decision to, like, forge ahead on our little our little gurney that was going to take us to the next game.
We were all praying that you would come out at the last minute so we could scream at you, goodbye, Buzz.
Hey, good looking. We'll be back to pick you up later.
Right.
And as I looked back, and I'm waiting for Buzz, and of course, some Mr. Burns got off and walked out of the gate. We never saw Buzz, and we didn't run.
Well, because we are such a close-knit group, I wasn't surprised not to see any of you when we got off the plane. And while you were riding in comfort, I ran. I actually sprinted to the next gate.
It was a bit of a haul to get to the next place.
Yes, it was.
And this lady was nice enough. I wish I could tell you what her name was. She was nice enough to give us a ride. We were singing at one point. Singing.
What were we singing? I forgot what we were singing.
Well, you were singing.
I know. What was I singing? What was it, Rob?
It had to be you.
It had to be you.
And all these people. You know, I only felt bad when we would go by really old people.
Right.
Who,
right.
Like, had walkers and stuff to get through the airport. And here are four perfectly healthy guys with our luggage being toted on this giant driving thing through the airport.
We were not meant to use that machine.
But it was a great treat, and she took us all the way to the concourse where you have to get on the train to go to the next stop.
That is correct.
And then at the next stop is where we finally saw Buzz.
Yes.
Actually, we had all kinds of side beds going. If you would even make the next flight.
It was remarkable how quickly he got to the gate. We were all amazed.
I can move.
Okay. We get to the next spot, and it was at that point that it started really in earnest with Mike and Charlie.
Oh,
I think,
man.
You know what? I take it back. It was before you even got on that little tram.
Yeah.
It was when Charlie got off the airplane in Atlanta, when he had his headset in and he was talking on the telephone. Mike said to me, I'm just going to go pull that out of his ear.
I wanted to.
I said, don't pull it out of his ear.
I wanted to. I am so tired of him with those. He's got 15 wires coming out of his head. And you know what the move is? We've discussed it a million times. The move with Charlie Broyhill is talking right directly to your face, looking at you, and then you realize he's having a conversation with someone, like he's doing right now.
Yeah, like he's doing now.
And I said, what, Charlie? And then he won't say, you know, he won't have the decency to like, stop his conversation. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking on the telephone. He will simply put his finger up and continue with his little conversation.
So it
drives me nuts.
It got really tense for a couple of seconds because you were ready, seriously, to rip the phone out of his ear.
Just I wanted to take his little earpiece out.
And then you got mad because I was talking to him on the airplane.
Yeah, well, I didn't get mad. I was making fun of you. I didn't really get mad. I know I didn't. I didn't think I was all that belligerent. I thought I was actually...
You were just a fathom belligerent.
I was when we finally arrived is when I really was fed up with Charlie Broyhill. I thought it was when we arrived in... at our final destination that I wanted to take the headphone.
No, it was when he came off the airplane.
Oh, okay, so that was it.
That's where you said it. I think it was when we arrived in Wichita, when you really looked like you were going to approach him.
Yes.
To physically grab the telephone and pull the thing out
of
his ear.
But, you know, the problem is he does that speed walk, and, you know, he was just way too far in front of me. But I'll tell you, one of these trips, I'll get him.
So we get on the second airplane, the airplane that's going to take us from Atlanta to Wichita.
The tiny plane.
And it's an airplane, excuse me, an airplane that might as well have had propellers on it. I mean, this is how old this airplane. It didn't have propellers.
It's a jet.
But it must have been one of the first jets ever invented.
No, you are so wrong. You are so...
You don't think that was an old plane?
That was a relatively brand new plane that we were on.
That was a crappy plane, I thought.
It wasn't a crappy plane. It was a new plane.
Yeah, right. It was an Indy Jones plane. Indiana Jones.
Guys, I'm gonna stop you right here. I'm the phobic flyer, okay? And I know you guys don't care. And because you don't care, you don't know. But trust me.
That was a creaky old...
old plane.
That was a brand new aircraft.
Well, what was the retail on that? $25 on that airplane? That was an awful airplane.
I guarantee you that you would much rather be on a plane like that than on so many of the little turboprops or the ones that have been flying for 30 years.
Well, yeah. I thought it was an old plane.
Didn't you see the front where they had like the coffee stand and all the different stuff put away? That was all brand new hardware that they had in there. It was all brand new stuff.
I thought
that
the plane sucked. Well,
the plane sucked.
What's that? You can tell me that Stu wasn't gay?
No, I'm not going to tell you that.
Yeah, and the name of it. Thank you, Rob. The name Asa Air, as in Asa Buchanan.
Yes, Asa Buchanan. Well, it's the commuter airline that flies for Delta.
Right. And we had this guy, the guy that was our Stu. He was just the queerest thing on two feet and made no bones about the fact.
Gave me extra almonds.
Yeah.
Yes.
Here's some more almonds for you, Mr.
Actually, Barrow. You know, I didn't feel like too much of a wuss myself when I did not have the guts to ask for the extra almonds. So Rob was asking for, what were you asking for, another beer?
Yeah.
Rob was asking for another beer, and I shocker. And I leaned back to Rob and I said, excuse me, would you ask him for some extra almonds? Now, when you ask for extra, you think you might get one bag, or you might even get two. He gave me three bags of almonds.
Eat my almonds, Mike.
Which I devoured.
Eat all my almonds.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to say that our flight time to Wichita will be approximately 1 hour and 48 minutes, and it's going to be a little bumpy up here, so I want you to keep your seatbelt buttoned. And my name is whatever his name was, Ralph or whatever, and if I can serve you in any way, I'd be glad to help.
A little bumpy. Let me tell you something right now. You want to know why I medicate before we go on these flights? That's the reason. That was, I think, from the start to the finish, one of the bumpiest rides, because it was a smaller plane and because we were flying through a little weather. I think if I hadn't, had daddy's juice, as I like to call it,
right.
I'll tell you right now, I think I might have really had a difficult time on that flight.
So we land in Wichita, and immediately, Bruce or Ralph, whatever his name is, he looks out the window and he goes, the Stew, it snowed here. And I mean, I'm not exaggerating this guy's list. Look outside. It's snowed. I was just here last night and they didn't have any snow. Oh, my goodness. Thanks. Hey, everybody. It snowed here. Okay. Thank you, Bruce.
Oh, God.
He opens up the door. We get our luggage. We go walking off the gangplank and we walk into the Wichita Airport, which is like
beautiful.
Circa 1960.
I think I said as we were walking through the Wichita Airport last night, this could also double as the courthouse.
Yeah.
It really had a courthouse look to it.
You know, it takes it out of you when you arrive to a city and you get off an airplane and you're pulling your bag behind you and you immediately have to walk up four flights of stairs.
Yeah, we were pretty amazed. You know, being a smaller town and a smaller airport, you would think that the hike between the gate and your transportation, your ground transportation, would be just a little shorter.
Right. And I'm not talking about the amount of space that we had to walk once we got in the terminal. I'm talking about to get to the terminal.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have an escalator or anything.
No.
They were seriously, and it's like walking through stairs in an office building.
Yeah.
These are how small the stairwells are.
Yeah, it was tiny.
Then you walk up four flights of stairs. So we get there, and we start hiking through the Wichita Airport, and at that point we notice that, well, they don't have quite the accoutrements that some of the other airports do. For instance, when we left home at Left Dulles Airport, it's a goddamn shopping mall.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's real nice. In the airport.
I've never been to that gate at Dulles Airport, and it's terrific. It's exactly what it's like.
I mean,
it's like a shopping mall.
They have real stores and everything. The first thing we saw in the Wichita Airport was
there a Hobby Lobby when we got off the plane?
No, but are you forgetting Hot Dog City?
Hot Dog City, which was closed, if I remember correctly, right?
Hot Dog City, that's what they have in the Wichita Airport.
Hot Dog City. We were surely disappointed that the Hot Dog City hadn't expanded its hours for our arrival.
So we make our way all the way down down this long corridor, and it was that time we first saw.
Can I say something that was funny that I observed, too, about all of us? When we got off the plane, we were all, I think Charlie was looking up at the window because you had to go up a flight of stairs to get to the main terminal. And we're all kind of looking around. Everybody's saying, oh, I hope there's nobody here. You know, I hope there's not. And, you know, what made me laugh is that we all were saying that, but I think everybody thought, seriously, and correct me if I'm wrong, everybody in our group thought there were probably going to be a couple of people waiting. And when we got there, we're all like, oh, boy, geez, I hope there's not like a bunch of these goofballs waiting for me to say, I'll tell you right now, oh, man, I tell you, when people get... Well, there's no one here.
Right. Nobody here for us.
And then we were all very, very lonely.
Nobody except the Nazi, Tony Dushing, who was standing there with a sign like a...
Hello, how was your flight?
Yeah. You know how when you get off the airplane, the guy has a sign that says, like, Burbank? It was only a sign that said WJFK.
It's nice to see you that you finally made it here to Wichita. I'm Tony Dushing. I will make sure that your transportation arrangements are satisfactory.
So we walked through the airport with this guy, and they have a nice big Puff Daddy limo for us. I mean, a big giant pimp-like limo that's waiting out front.
Mm-hmm. Are you, I mean, at this stage, you're like me, right? I mean, it's nice. It's nice to have transportation. I love the fact that they've done that for us. It's very nice. But at this stage of the game, I could really use, like, just a car.
Yeah. They're being nice, though.
They're being super nice.
They're being nice.
That's the thing. It's like, when I see a limo like that, it's like, hey, here we are.
Right.
I don't know.
Here are the dicks.
The dicks in the back of their 400-foot limousine.
So we get into this limousine. It's all of us getting in, except for Buzz.
Right.
Now, I felt bad for Buzz last night, because as we were walking out the door to get to this car that would take us to the hotel that we ended up not going to, I said to Buzz, what are you doing? And Buzz had told me earlier that his mom and his dad were coming to pick him up.
Right.
He's going to be spending the weekend with his dad out here in Wichita. And as we were going through the door, the last thing I said to Buzz is, where's your paw? And he said, I don't know. And Buzz had the look of a little child who's been lost in a grocery store.
Buzz, did your mom and dad ever show up?
No, they never did.
kidding.
No, I am kidding. I, just as soon as you guys pulled away, Dad pulled up and picked me up, and we had a lovely evening.
Good old Ma and Pa Elsa.
Yeah. You know, Buzz, just to take a peek inside the mind of the Burbank, your dad, you don't make the arrangements where he might come into the airport. It's the curbside pickup.
You know, it surprised me. No, it surprised me because normally he's the kind of guy who would meet me at the gate, and so I didn't see him at the gate, and I was a little disappointed. I thought, okay, he's probably down front or, down by baggage claim. We got down front, the front of the airport, down to my baggage claim, no dad there. You guys pull away on the limo. I'm standing on the curb by myself.
No
dad yet.
Hey, Dad, if you're listening today, you should have come into the airport.
And then he pulled up and everything was fine.
And your mom and dad didn't even feed you today because when we got to the radio station, they had a very nice spread of food for us. And Buzz dived in.
Oh, he unhitched his jaw.
Like a man who has not had anything to eat. And I think, Mike, you said to him, didn't your mom fix you anything to eat today?
and he said to me, well, this is Buzz all the way. Buzz says, she would have if I had asked.
I mean, I could have asked for
she had rolls she offered.
Yeah, rolls. That was it, rolls.
Were they brown and served?
No, they were, iced cinnamon rolls.
Oh, cinnamon rolls.
Yeah.
I could have had an egg.
Did they fix you anything when you got there last night?
They asked me if I'd eaten, and I said I was quite satisfied.
Okay. Well, Buzz, glad to know that your ma and pa made it. And I'm sure the whole way home they reminisced about, finding you in the rocket.
Yeah,
and
that whole
how
thing
your name used to be Kal-El.
Right, and the cape and everything.
Right. Yeah. So we get into the limo, and the limo driver is a very nice guy, and the girl who's helping them out is equally very nice. And they're being so goddamn nice, it's like it's getting on our nerves.
Well,
you know what I mean?
At the end of that, what are we talking about hours-wise?
We're talking about 8 hours, roughly 8 hours from the time we left work to the time we got
We've
here.
We've been humming along for about 8 hours. Everybody's ready for one thing. We want to hit the sack. That's about it.
So this limo driver, Bob, who's really a nice guy.
Super nice guy. Great guy, Bob.
Just very much, hi, how are you? Glad to see you. Hey, Tony Dushing. I know you call him Dushing, huh?
It's about 11 o'clock Wichita time, which is midnight our time.
Bueno, our Busto guys, how you doing?
And I thought that I give you credit because I know that, really, you just wanted, what you wanted to do was nonverbal. You wanted to simply shut the door in his face, but you didn't do that.
No.
You humored him, and just like, you were very nice That's to the nice. Guy.
Well, and he's nice.
He's nice. It's just, his energy.
So nice, they picked me as their spokesman because I'm nice.
His energy level simply did not match ours. He was...
Hey, listen, even today when we woke up and we were wide awake when we went out to the car, his energy level again was 20 times more than ours.
Absolutely.
He said, hey, they said I could get a picture. Can I get a picture? We said, sure. And immediately starts going, all right, now when you smile, say Frida. That's your wife. That's Frida. That's Don's wife, Frida. Say Frida.
But let's give him his props because when he gets to the front of that thing, that little partition, because we like to talk about everybody behind their back. As soon as he hit the wheel, that partition
went
up. So we got our privacy.
So we got in this car last night and the limo driver, who's, blah, 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 just going on and on. we realized once we got on the road that we're hungry.
Yeah.
Not anything to eat. So Rob gets on the telephone to this guy, you know, because we don't know how to put down the partition so we can talk to him.
And he has pointed out that there is a phone that is in the back of the car to call the front of the car. Nothing but the best.
So Rob picks up the phone and says, hello, this is Rob A. Can you please put down the screen? So the guy puts the screen down, and we said, hey, listen, this hotel...
Didn't he say, hello, this is Rob A. from the Don and Mike show?
He said, hello. He said, listen, this hotel that the station's putting us up at, do you know, do they have room service? And the driver said, the driver, Bob, says, hold on, I'll check. So we're continuing to drive along, and then he puts the thing back down, and he goes, they have vending machines.
At that point, we all go...
I don't know. Then we said, how long does it take to get to the hotel from here? Now, keeping in mind, we've been away from the airport maybe 15 minutes. He says, oh, another half hour, I'll have you there. Meanwhile, keep in mind, we're driving right by downtown Wichita, where there are a slew of name brand, brand new hotels.
Mm-hmm. And in between, we had said, well, can you stop by McDonald's so we can be like the Fat Boys and drive our limousine through the drive-thru?
One time when we had the Fat Boys on our show,
that's right,
we actually listened on the telephone as they went to McDonald's.
Rated PG.
The guy was going to go to McDonald's, and then I just said, you know what? I don't want to go to the Tall Grass Inn or wherever it is that the station is putting
us
up.
Yeah, we have
at.
No, it might be a perfectly nice place, but we wanted convenience, so we wanted to go to a place that was closer. You made an editorial decision that
let's
I thought
go to the downtown hotel.
So we immediately went in there. They had the rooms, and we were fine, and we were psyched about it.
It's great. They got room service. They got a workout room I was in today. They got a cigar bar in there.
Happy campers.
They got, you know, the movies. I watched the James Bond movie this morning. They got all kinds of porno, but, you know, I gave up porno for lunch.
Oh.
They got PlayStation in the room.
Can I just say, as far as hotel porno, there's a new feature that they have in many of these hotels where you pay one low fee and you get all the pornos until noon the next day. And I'll tell you something, that is simply responding to the consumer, and I'd like to give them a round
of
applause.
Yeah, that's very nice. Did you sign up for that?
Everywhere I go, I sign up for it. As a matter of fact, we've been on the road so much, I've seen pretty much all of them. I hadn't seen the sexy co-eds, but I saw that one. And, you know, there are varying degrees of... I base it all on, you know, the editing process, you know, how old it is and the whole... They're all pretty darn good, but, I mean, $14.95, you know, you get it through,
unlimited.
Through noon the next day. I think it's a terrific deal.
So it's a nice hotel, and things, as it turns out, couldn't have worked out any better. All the reports we'd heard yesterday from, well, mainly from chief meteorologist Dennis Murphy, where that they had 5 inches of snow in Wichita, and as it turns out, they had anything but. They had maybe an inch of snow in Wichita, and there was more of a problem with icing than there was with actual snow in town.
Yeah, it's very interesting, though, when the plane was landing last night, to see snow on the ground at this time of year. It was kind of weird.
So that's our story.
Oh, and the Insider. I saw the Insider on the hotel, you know, that they finally put a nominated movie on there, so it was, I like that movie. You ought to check it out. I was telling you that. It was a good movie. Without Pacino!
So the hotel's nice, and, you know, once we've got this crap with the conference room worked out, the radio station is nice. And, Buzz, your dad, is he coming by the show tonight? Or
I don't think so. I think it might be, you know, a little too rowdy for Pops Burbank tonight.
Oh, really? So we won't see Pa on this trip?
Probably not. So will they feed you at all this weekend?
Oh, yeah, they'll feed me well.
When you go back home, is there a specialty that your Pa, you know, puts together for you?
Not really. No, maybe steaks on the grill.
Hey, all right.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Now, this
okay,
is your...
Well, fine.
Okay, Regis.
Yeah, then fine.
Okay, fine.
Great. Okay, hello, Dad. Steaks on the grill and cinnamon rolls. So long, son.
We're set.
Sorry I was late at the airport. I'm going to drop you off at the exit. Off the interstate. Take care, son.
You're going to walk.
He's going to have an egg if you want, son.
Here's one egg. Would you like a fork with that?
All right, time out. You know what I want to do when we come back? I want to, we'll give away the $1,000. We'll call Ireland, and I want to go through all of the radio stations' tapes and promotional announcements.
Okay.
I love doing this when we're out of town.
They got a pretty fancy computer system here.
At a different radio station. I see they have a bunch of promos for our show, and what they have some homemade stuff that they think is funny.
There's some wittiness, yeah.
Some wittiness. Okay, well, let's do that when we come right back live from Wichita.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Sports 11. Practicing total sphincter control. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Let's something. We're at radio station KFH today in Wichita, where we have a Las Vegas-style show tonight at the Cotillion. Good Lord willing, and the creeks don't rise. We'll be back at home in D.C. on Monday to tell you everything that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, walk me through these various items they have. This is not a radio station like the radio station at home where they have tape cartridges.
Tape cartridges, actual audio tape used in broadcast studios, rapidly being phased out, except some of the elder stations.
Like ours. A station like this one, KFH, they have everything on computer. So what I would like to hear is some of the stuff that they have to promote our show, and I'd also like to hear some of the station IDs that they run.
Alrighty, this page are all 30-second promos, and these are mostly the ones that I found that we've actually produced and fed them, but they've got a local tag.
No, I don't want to hear that. Let's go to
some of the funny bumpers.
Yes, yeah. Go to funny bumpers.
Okay. I'd like to hear that.
Are these things that they run during our show?
Yes, I think they run them all day, actually.
All right, good. Let's hear some of the sounds of radio station KFH, because this is where we are today.
Funny bumpers.
Which would you like to hear? We'll just start right at the top.
The Hobby Lobby.
Here we go. Online. Here we go.
Your online connection to KFH is 1330KFH.com. Visit us now at 1330KFH.com.
I'm not laughing.
Hot Talk.
I didn't laugh at that at all. I didn't find that funny.
That ain't funny. Go to the next one.
The official internet provider of Hot Talk 1330 KFH.
Not funny.
Not funny.
Go to the next one.
I'm not laughing. Why are they calling them funny?
I called them funny. You want funny? I'll give you funny.
Oh, you called them funny?
This is ready for the... Just hold on, because you're going to laugh.
All right, this is funny.
Here we go. Ready?
All right.
Rated number one with men who tell their wives they're beautiful, even if they're not. Hot Talk 1330 KFH.
Funny. All right, what's the one that says clothing?
Let's hear that.
Go to clothing.
Look sexy in KFH clothing. Check out the KFH clothing store at 1330KFH.com.
Yeah.
They have a clothing store?
Oh, they sell T-shirts. It's like on their website.
I want one.
On their website. All right, let's go to some of the...
The lasery 5-second
Yeah,
bombs?
Some of the jive stuff that they have that has the deep guy saying the call letters. A guy with a big voice. Here we go. Okay. Roll.
This is Hot Talk 1330KFH.
I got a better radio voice than that guy does.
This is Hot Talk.
Next one, please.
Wichita's Hot Talk. Yeah. 1330 KFH.
Hey, that's the real enchilada.
All right.
Go to the next one, Robbie. Next one, please.
News and weather every hour and when it breaks. Hot Talk 1330 KFH.
Better not be crabbing up our show with that junk. All right, let's hear the next one.
We get more complaints than any other radio station. We're Hot Talk 1330 KFH.
See? Yeah, right. Funny. Funny.
All right,
go to the next page. Let's go to Don and Mike.
All right.
Go to this page. Go to Don and Mike.
Sure you don't want Liddy?
No, let's hear Don and Mike.
Hot Talk 1330 KFH, presenting fun with the Don and Mike Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 until 7 on KFH.
KFH presenting fun with the Don and Mike Show from 2 till 7.
I hope these are going to sound better after my testicles drop.
Let me hear that one again. Play that one again.
Hot Talk 1330 KFH, presenting fun with the Don and Mike Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 until 7 on KFH.
And now, here are the guys.
All right, let's go to... Go to the legal IDs, Rob.
Okay, that is...
Let's hear the page of legal IDs.
This is cool. It's all on computer. We're all looking at it like we've never seen a computer before.
All right, here we go. Roll that one, please.
The hottest talk in Canada. This is Hot Talk 1330 KFH, Wichita.
Who's doing these? A 13-year-old boy? Can't they get a guy like Dude Walker, a guy with a big, deep voice?
You don't think that guy's got a deep voice?
No, I don't. Roll the next one, Robbie. Roll the next one, please.
Broadcasting from the world's air capital.
How can they be the air capital when they have such a crappy airport and they have Hot Dog City in the airport?
Because they manufacture so many planes here.
Boeing,
Boeing,
Beechcraft, Cessna,
Lear,
yeah,
Cessna.
Why does the airport suck so bad?
I think. Buzz, don't those companies have their own airstrips?
I blame Ronald Reagan.
You always blame Ronald Reagan. All right, is that it?
We got some dry stuff.
All right, let's hear the dry stuff. Hear the dry stuff. Charlie, get the guy with the surprise ready.
Broadcasting from the station where they have a lot of planes.
Wichita's Hot Talk. This is KFH.
Yeah.
See?
Yuck. Let's hear the next one.
That's terrific.
Hot Dog, 1330 KFH.
Who is that? Is that Tony Douching doing those, do you think?
I wonder if there's no German accent.
Broadcasting from KFH Studios. This is Tony Douching, and now here are Don and Mike.
You will listen, you will enjoy. Douching!
Enjoy the show with Don and Mike.
Don and Mike Don in the afternoon on KFH. Hello, this is Tony Douching from KFH.
Hi, you're listening to the Don and Mike show with Tony Douching
on KFH. Hello, I'm
here douching. KMB. Jawohl.
Best Frau douching.
Jawohl.
All right, now we have a guy from the radio station.
Guy from the radio station?
A guy who works here who wants to do something special on the radio.
All right, well, let's meet everybody. Look at all these people coming in here right now. He's getting. Let's make sure everybody enters. Rob, do we have microphones for everybody?
Yeah, we got a microphone.
Here got a microphone. Okay, now you, sir, are you from the radio station?
I am from the radio station. I'm the official welcome wagon.
Oh, really?
I am here just to say welcome. The city is extremely excited that you gentlemen being in town doing your Las Vegas-style show.
Not as excited as we are to be here.
That's what I think.
You're not the guy that does these awful things that we just played, are you?
No, you can probably tell by my voice that I'm...
No, you sounded like KFH. I'm sorry, you're reading
that's
an official...
That's okay.
We're getting an official proclamation.
The official welcome. Very excited about you doing a Las Vegas-style show. We've got people down there already, and I know I'm extremely excited. But this gives me a chance to ask a question that I've always wanted to ask.
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, very good. Well, fire away. We're ready for it.
I will ask a question. This is my girlfriend, Wendy Holmes, here.
Wendy, hello. Hi, Wendy. How are you, Wendy?
I'm fine.
All right, now go ahead. You said
And actually, my question is to her.
Oh, it's to her.
It's to you. Over the last couple years, it's been just a whirlwind. You love me unconditionally, like no one ever had, with my faults and all my mistakes. And I love you very much and want to spend the rest of my life with you. And if you can make me the happiest man on the Don and Mike show, if you'll agree to be my wife.
Wendy? Yes.
She said yes.
Oh, you married me.
A proposal right here. This is so cool.
Answer him on the radio.
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Look at that. That's a slam dunk. Yes.
Oh, she's crying.
Oh, look at that.
Big hug.
That is so cool. That's a sweet moment. I
figured the Don and Mike show was the biggest stage where I could ask for.
You know, because I drank a lot on the plane last night. I'm actually legitimately getting a little filled up here.
That was a special moment, man.
That was almost beautiful. Is when the guy in the Regis audience proposed to his girlfriend.
That's right. But you know something? I give this guy a lot of credit for doing it on this show.
Yeah.
You get a lot of credit for proposing to this lovely woman on our show. Way to go.
Yeah. Thank you.
Now, you really love this slug, honey?
No, I do. I
look at how much he's in love with you.
Dear. We have a daughter together, and I love him.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, who could give that child a real mother and father then, for goodness sake?
Yeah.
Oh, a bastard child, Mike.
Do it right now. Get married right. Where's the preacher? Get a preacher in here right now. Don,
how old is the bastard child?
Oh. She's 18.
Oh. She's 18 months of being a bastard child.
If you're going to make it an honest kid, that's fantastic. So you love him?
Oh, I love him.
And you love her?
Very, very much so.
You're getting the old 13-year-old. Yes, I do, sir.
Well, just let me say on behalf of everybody with the Don and Mike show, it's about time you have an 18-month-old kid.
Way to go.
Please.
That's what our parents will say.
I never would have allowed this if I would have known that.
Don has very high standards for this show.
Right. You know, babies having babies and all. All right, well, congratulations, you guys.
Give her a kiss. Go ahead. Give her a smooch. Yeah. There you go. Wonderful.
No, give her some tongue. Rob, get this.
Wow.
Get it, Rob.
You know, let me tell you something right now. I mean, not that you're not a fine-looking man, but you are really doing well here. You are really, seriously, way to go.
Kiss her again. Kiss her again.
Yeah, we want to get the kiss.
Her
again.
Get now, right. Now, feel her. Feel her.
You did it.
He was going low.
He was going low. I wanted him to feel her top.
Where's the, are you going to set a date pretty quickly? I mean,
we're thinking about the end of August.
End of August.
And how old will, you know, bastard be then?
3 months.
23 months.
How old?
23 months.
So you're 3 months.
Move it up a couple.
Well, why don't you just go get it done?
Go to the courthouse today.
Oh, our parents wouldn't like.
Oh, the parents wouldn't like.
Parents?
That.
Well, your parents can't be thrilled about the fact that you've had a child.
No.
I can't imagine your parents would be upset if you just went and got married right now today.
Maybe we'll just want to go to Vegas this summer.
All right, baby's having. Fine, baby. Get out of here.
Thank you.
Get out of here, you kids.
Oh, gosh.
Jesus.
There they go. All
right. Wait, hold on. I can't hear you, Robbie. Wait, can you turn Rob's microphone on?
He has to get out of here because Dick Cavett wants that outfit back.
That's yeah, wearing the white turtleneck with the gray suits. There you go. Well, there they are. She is a beautiful girl.
Yeah, sure. Right.
And he's an okay-looking guy.
Yeah,
that's so. You know when you see that, she immediately knew what was going on when he hit the knee, and
she started welling up with tears.
I like that.
I haven't been this happy since you knocked me up and we had that illegitimate child. That for the past year and a half has not known who her father is.
You know, I think we should give him a tape because they'll remember this is a special moment.
That they will. Yeah. Okay, it is St. Patrick's Day. We'll make our calls to Ireland when we come right back.
The Don and Mike Show.
We are coming to you live today from radio station KFH in Wichita. Big Gum Jimmy, let's go to line three where we have Jason, who has actually inside the joint we're doing the show from tonight, who wants to give us a report. Hello, Jason, buddy.
Don, Mike, hi, guys.
Hi, my friend. You are inside the cotillion right now?
I am inside the great cotillion. It's looking great in here.
What is the mood inside the cotillion?
A little bit lucid right now. The guys are just starting to drink, so by the time you guys get here, it should be pretty wild and crazy.
Now, keep in mind that the people who are being let in now are the people who went through all the crap that the radio station put them through. Like, you go to Dunkin' Donuts, and then you go to the liquor store, and then you go to the dry cleaner, and then you got a 1 in 10 chance of winning tickets. How is the line of people...
I got a You Drink 'Em liquor store, I believe.
You Drink 'Em.
Drink 'Em.
How many people are outside lined up for tickets now for when the doors open at 7:15? You got any idea?
I'd say there's probably like 100, 150 people outside, maybe 500, 600 inside. It's looking good.
Oh, well, you can do better than that, Wichita.
Absolutely, Wichita.
Please, we made all that big deal about making sure the doors would be open at 7:15.
That's just like we made a big deal about people meeting us at the airport.
No, we didn't make a big deal about that. Jason, thank you, my friend. See you there.
Thanks, guys.
See you there tonight at the Co-Smellion. The Cotillion. The Blowtillion. You know, I just heard...
The Homotillion.
I just heard the funniest call in the hallway between Buzz and his dad. Oh, what is that?
The Homo Julian.
The Homo Joe Tillian. I think he's coming to the show tonight, as a matter of fact.
With his own buddy. Not a Mike Homo Joe here. I paid for my ticket.
I just heard Buzz on the phone with his dad.
Really?
I listened. I was walking down the hall and heard you on the telephone.
Mm-hmm.
And here's how it went. Now, Buzz, you know, how long has this guy been your father?
Most of my life, huh? Most of my life.
It sounded to me like a business call. Here's what I hear.
Uh-huh.
Hi, Dad. Did I wake you? Listen. Channel 3 came by, and Don would really, really think this is a personal favor if you could please take the news tonight so that they could play it back on the show. It would mean an awful lot. Uh-huh.
And do you think it's a stretch if I could get an egg tomorrow?
Uh-huh.
Just one.
Okay. All right. Fine.
Mm-hmm. Tell Mom the cinnamon rolls were good.
I guess, you know, Buzz, you're...
I like you, too. Bye-bye.
Yeah. I was going to say, I am certainly not one to talk being estranged from my parents, but I didn't hear a lot of love in that conversation. That was like calling your boss.
It's a Midwestern thing. It's a Midwestern thing.
I think that's a lot of it. We've never been terribly demonstrative, especially in front of other people. And since I knew there was a chance someone might be listening, I tried to cool it.
Hi. Are you sleeping?
Well, he said he might take a nap this afternoon. So.
Okay, well, listen, thanks for taping that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fond of you, too. I'll talk to you later.
It was nice to meet you.
It was nice to meet you. Buzz and his dad. You know, hey, let's give away this money right now while we're thinking about Buzz, before we call Ireland.
Very good.
Jimmy, give me some music, please. We've had a bunch of people who have qualified to win $1,000 this week. We're going to give that money away right now. You have to prove to us that you're listening to the show. And you answer the phone by saying, Buzz's dad doesn't love him. If you are listening to the show right now and your telephone rings, answer your phone by saying, Buzz's dad doesn't love him. And you will win $1,000.
Oh, that is too funny.
We have all of the people on the line here who have won a prize this week on the show. Jimmy, let's start with... Oh, what the heck. Start with person number 6.
And, of course, if you can do it with a Buzz impression...
Buzz's dad doesn't love him.
You win $1,000.
That's right.
All right, Big Gum Jimmy's calling right now. Please remember, that has to be the first thing you say when your phone rings. Yep. Buzz's dad doesn't love him. Don't say hello.
Yeah, do not say hello. Say Buzz's dad doesn't love him, and you win the $1,000.
Money is from onmoney.com. Yeah, see, dialing that telephone is tougher. It's tougher than you would think, and people bust my balls about it. Listen, Jimmy doesn't even have to worry about talking while he's dialing.
Yeah, but his fingers are a lot longer than yours are.
He has big, bony Arsenio Hall AC fingers.
When he gets old, he'll be able to hunt fish.
Okay. Remember, the phrase that pays. Buzz's dad doesn't love him.
Thanks, Dad.
I'm fond of you, too. Nice to meet you.
Sounds like no answer.
Oh, what bad luck for that individual. Somebody missing out on the $1,000.
All right. Hang up. Jimmy, redial. Let's go to person number 2.
And it's
person
cool.
number 2.
Jimmy's fingers are so long, he can actually dial the phone when he's outside of the studio.
Hell, Jimmy can probably put his hand out the window and tap us on the shoulder.
That's right. He has to worry. When he's picking his nose, he has to worry about brain damage.
Remember, answer the phone with the phrase that pays. You're the big wiener.
Even if you're at work.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Buzz.
Buzz's dad doesn't love him. That's the phrase that pays.
Love him. Gotta emphasize it that way.
Buzz's dad.
455, man.
Yeah, hang up there. All right, let's go to person number 1 on the list. And I guess try the work number first. Is that what we should try first? I mean, it's like 5 o'clock.
Can't be over the meat. They couldn't even make me in.
My dad.
Cinnamon roll.
My dad didn't pick me up at the airport.
That's all I had.
Because my dad doesn't love me.
Because I'm nice. I'm Buzz Burbank for my dad's house.
Hey, it's because of him I'm nice.
Hello. You know, never have two guys had such a hard time just giving away $1,000.
We like to call that the McClure factor.
Although, just try to do the biggest thing. All right, no answer. Have we done person number 6?
Yeah, I think you did. Mm-hmm. That's who you started with, yeah.
All right, then do 7. Go to 7.
Take those spider claws and dial 7, number 7.
I just can't seem to do it. I just, the fingers just get all intertwined.
Buzz, you sleep on the floor last night?
Yeah, I did. But it was comfortable. I was fine.
Or was it
fine.
In the barn?
I had no complaints. No, indoors this time.
In the barn.
Good meeting you.
Take care.
Did you sleep back in the rocket ship that you flew here from?
Buzz's dad doesn't love him?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, cool.
That's right. You know, I don't even have a name here. What is your name, my friend?
My name is Chet.
Chet, this must be Chet Salvatore.
Salvatorelli.
Right. From you're around Sacramento, California, correct?
Exactly.
Ooh,
exactly.
Chet Salvatore.
My friend, what was that phrase that pays again?
Buzz's father doesn't love him.
That's right. I don't mean that's right, Buzz's father doesn't love him. I mean, that's
the phrase. Right.
Whatever. You've won $1,000 from OnMoney.com. Bring all of your accounts together with a single easy-to-use statement from OnMoney.com. See and manage your bank and investment accounts, credit cards, and travel reward programs with OnMoney.com. Get your money connected. Thank you for listening to the show, my friend.
Thank you for giving me the money.
You're very welcome. Thanks for listening. Hold on just a second. Okay, now, it is St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, happy St. Patrick's Day.
We are going to try to call pubs in Ireland right now to find the drunkest person in Ireland. Jimmy, let's start with... Oh, and I wish I could dial these numbers myself, but we don't have the telephone. Let's call Duffy's Pub in Dublin, Ireland.
What a fine idea. Happy St. Patrick's Day, so we call Duffy's Pub to see who happens to be the drunkest guy in the bar.
And that's what we're going to do, is ask... for the drunkest person. Now, Buzz, whose father doesn't love him, what time is it in Ireland?
Let's see. 11 p.m., 11:15.
Oh, then they are at prime drunk mode right now.
Well, I'll be honest with you. You got about 15 minutes left, because otherwise you're going to close the pubs. You say what you will about Ireland, at 11:30 p.m., they close the doors and throw you out on the street.
Well, I'm glad we're calling now, then.
Unless, of course, you know the owner. Then you get to stay in there with the doors closed. So there might be Duffy himself, who's all messed up.
Doofy.
Doofy. Doofy's all effed up.
Doofy's boob.
Doofy.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, is this Duffy's Pub? You're on the air. This is the Don and Mike Show. We're calling you from America.
Hello?
Yes, hello. Is this Ireland? Yeah, hello. We might have got the drunkest guy right here answering the telephone.
I can't hear you talk.
Hello. How are you? Oh, you bastard. All right, let's try Kilgobin. Kilgobin?
Kilgobin.
Kilgobin. Try the Kilgobin pub, and that is in Bantry, Ireland.
Hello. I'm Paddy Kilgobin, and this is my pub. At 11:30, we close the doors, but if you know Paddy Kilgobin...
I'm Gerald Fitzpatrick, and I'm Patrick Fitzgerald.
Ah, we're your flight attendants.
We're the gayest men in Ireland.
And we'd love you to come by.
I'm Patrick Fitzgerald, and here's my friend...
Gerald Fitzpatrick. We fit each other like a glove. Perfect fit.
Good to see you.
Watertight.
A glove. All right, calling Ireland now.
Hello, hello.
Yes, hello.
Hello there.
Hello, this is the Don and Mike radio show. We're calling you from America. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
And the same to you, sir, and many, many more of them.
Listen, we were looking to talk to the drunkest person in your pub.
I'm the drunkest. No, he wouldn't be coherent.
That's the kind of person we'd like to talk to. If there's somebody who's incoherent, we'd love you to put him on the phone.
Could you please find the drunkest...
You're going to have to explain who you are now to this gentleman.
Okay, that's fine. Here we go. Talking now to the drunkest person in Ireland. Here we go.
This might be good.
Hello?
Hello. This is the Don and Mike radio show. We're doing the most popular radio show in America. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Are you drunk?
Who's that? Who's speaking?
This is Don and Mike, and we're calling from the United States to say Happy St. Patrick's Day. How are you?
Are you Itche East Bay?
I think he asked us if we're from Denver.
Are you drunk?
No, I'm not really pissed, but I'm a bit under the weather.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. It means you know.
How pissed are you?
give me your name.
Don and Mike.
Sorry, say it again.
Don and Mike.
The line is poor.
How much have you had to drink tonight?
Not enough.
Not enough. That's a standard answer.
Could you give us a total? How many, what do you call those big...
Pints.
How many pints of beer have you had?
Might have had hard cider.
Jesus, where are you from?
Listen, we're from America.
Are you drinking pints, or are you drinking the hard cider?
We are well clued in this country.
Pardon me?
What?
Geographically, we're well clued in this country.
Many of my conversations when I was over there sounded like this at the end of the evening.
How many pints have you had today?
Mind your own bloody business.
Well, happy St. Patrick's Day to you, too.
Frank?
Hello?
He's asking for Frank.
Yes, this is Frank. Brian Hello, June. I'm Frank.
Brian June.
Hello, this is Frank, and I want you to know we're playing a big practical joke on you.
That's no problem, boy.
Hey, sir, what do you think?
We can handle those things.
What do you think of this?
Did you hear about the carryman who got whose wife gave him half of Viagra?
He's telling a joke.
No, okay, no, I didn't. What about the guy whose wife gave him half of Viagra?
Yeah, do you know what she gave him?
What?
Stop peeling the shoes.
No, tell us again.
I'm not going to get him.
What about the guy whose wife gave him half of Viagra?
Are you there, sir?
Okay.
I don't get it.
He was going down.
Oh, you mean his wiener.
Right.
His wiener was going up.
Instead of going down, so with the Viagra. Okay. There you go.
All right, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Hey, can I ask your first name, please?
Well, you can ask it, but you might get a proper answer.
All right, thank you. Nice talking to you. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
It's my birthday. My second birthday today, actually.
It's your birthday?
Yeah.
You said it's his second birthday.
In the course of the year. I call Sam up, so 17th of March is my birthday, and the 15th of August is my other birthday.
I guess he's celebrating his second birthday.
Right. He's bombed. Right. Okay, thank you, sir.
See ya. Take care, guys.
All right, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Bye. Goodbye. Well, there you go. It's our annual call to Ireland.
Yay!
And on only the second call to Ireland, we were able to reach the drunkest man in the country.
Those are my people, and I am proud of them. You know, even in his incoherence, he was able to get the joke out. Way to go. And that's all he wants.
Half a Viagra.
So he stopped pissing on his shoes.
Okay. There you go.
Way to go. Way to go, Seamus.
That's fine. The drunkest man in Ireland.
Man, that's great.
Thank you. You must be proud, Mark.
I am so proud. I really am proud.
Thank you. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike.
Now listen, let's start this counseling.
Yes.
Let's do this session with Buzz now.
Let's do.
Now, your father does or doesn't tell you that he loves you?
Oh, he does all the time.
When is the last time your father told you that he loved you?
I think yesterday, last night, as a matter of fact.
Exactly what did he say? Oh, no, Mike is...
Hello, Dr. Mike.
Mike is swung over to make sure he gets a good look at you.
I have to have eye contact for this. Especially when Buzz is talking about his dad.
Yeah, last night, I believe.
And what did he say?
Well, he just said, I love you. You know, he said, I'm glad you're here and I love you. And I said, I'm glad to be here and I love you too.
And that was extremely painful for you, wasn't it?
It was painful for both of us. But
very, very difficult for you to reach out and do that.
I said, nice to meet you, and we went to bed.
Before, together.
No.
I'm kidding.
Turned it into something awful.
Oh, now you.
My whole family used to sleep together.
Yo.
Yeah.
It's perfectly normal.
Yo. Fine.
Yo. Did your dad really tell you yesterday he loves you?
Yes, he did. Last night when I arrived.
Hi. We don't work this close.
I don't like you sitting this close to me. Move back to your corner. I don't like it already that you're this close already. I like it better when you're on the other side in Buzz's spot.
I'm sorry. Let me move my stool.
Buzz, would you like to take this opportunity to tell your dad on the radio you love him?
I love my dad very, very much. I love you, Dad. You've made me what I am today, and I'm very grateful for that. Thank you.
Okay. But why didn't he pick you up at the airport last night?
He was a little late. Inclement weather. You know, it's all right.
I think they ought to have a whole buffet for you tomorrow. Eggs, bacon, potatoes.
They will. They take great care of me.
That's good.
Okay. Outside of this morning, when is the last time your dad told you he loved you? Or last night?
The last time we talked on the phone, which would have been earlier this week, maybe Tuesday, Wednesday.
So you guys drop the L word all the time?
All the time now. Not so much when I was a kid, because like I said, I come from a family that's not terribly demonstrative, but... You know, the love was there.
Will you be watching any television tonight?
I don't think so.
He's coming to the
No, we're
going to
be at the show tonight.
I mean, after you get home to your father's house.
No, it'll be much too late. We'll go to bed.
What time does Dad normally go to bed?
Oh, like 10.
That's right, I forgot Buzz is coming to the appearance.
Central time.
I don't remember he's part of the show.
You don't mind, do you?
That's okay. No, you're invited.
Okay.
Have fun.
All right.
He's a big part of the show.
I understand that.
Doing the latex thing.
I understand that. I forgot that for a second. I thought maybe after the show was done here, Buzz might just go home.
Buzz?
Yes.
Buzz, what is your lead story tonight on the news and the comments?
Tonight, don't spit on the nice policeman's food.
Okay, gotcha. Don't spit.
Right.
Well, whatever. Listen, stay tuned, everybody. Stay tuned. God damn, it's hot in this room.
We're just reaching. I think we hit the wall. I really do.
You know what? I don't care who's here. Open the door. Let's get some air in the studio.
Let's get some air and some Wichitans.
You know? We are here in Hitler's bunker, for goodness sake.
Ah, there we go.
Ah, that's better.
Fantastic.
That's amazing. Nice.
You know, you get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 big men sucking all the oxygen out of a room.
That's nice. All right, everybody. Please stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news.
For news and
news
comments.
And comments.
Coming up.
Coming up.
On the Don and Mike Show.
That was very...
Professional, Dad.
This
I don't think he's related to Kathy Whiteside. But no doubt. I mean, this guy is fat. And Dan, our wonderful engineer who made the trip with us, Citizen
right.
Dan,
mm-hmm.
just asked if he's as fat as the guy on the airplane who needed the extension.
Yeah, no.
Not as fat as the guy on the airplane.
I'm surprised Dan didn't see him, the guy next door, when he tried to eat you, Dan.
He said, get in my belly.
Get in my belly. That's a dead, sexy engineer.
You see, it's guys like that, the disc jockey in the next room, that give guys like us...
Yes, the moderately fat disc jockey.
the bad name.
Yes.
Because that guy will go out to a donut shop,
right.
or to a shoe store, or to a ski store to do a remote appearance, mm-hmm. and people will say, oh my God, it looks like Grandpa Walton.
The number one thing he orders for dinner is, are you going to finish that?
Right. Right. And when you see suspenders on a man, that means generally he's just given up. You know, suspenders equals...
Absolutely.
Why even try a belt?
Sure.
What the hell?
Yeah, absolutely.
We, Buzz, before we get to news, we do have a call from Brad, who has been at the Cotillion for about an hour.
Hi, Brad.
Hey, how's it going, Don and Mike? Radio good!
Hey, my friend, could you tell us the scene at the Cotillion in Wichita now?
Oh, man, it's packed.
Already full?
Yeah, Dennis Murphy's standing here selling his major effing shirts.
Okay, I don't need to hear about Dennis the Peddler. What I'd like to know is, all of the people who have tickets, do you have any idea how many are inside now?
Geez, how many people inside, man? There's got to be over 1,000.
Over 1,000, and now the doors to get in for everyone who doesn't have tickets, those people who don't have tickets, that'll be just over an hour from now. How many people are in line?
Looks like quite a few.
All right, so they're going to make those tickets available to everybody that just shows up, and then they will pour themselves into the Homo Jotillion.
All right, thank you, Brad. We'll see you there, my friend.
Okay.
All right, goodbye.
That's Brad. He's down at the Gonzotillion.
There he is. And now it's time for Buzz, who tells his dad all the time he loves him.
All there the you time. Go.
Here
all
is the very
time.
Loved Buzz Burbank.
In Newcastle, Indiana, a 16-year-old boy is in big trouble for spitting on a chicken sandwich. The boy worked at a Burger King. The customer was an Indiana state trooper.
Uh-oh.
What, did he see the movie Casino?
Apparently so.
Oh, that's where he really puts a loogie on there.
Well, that may have happened here. When the kid told the cop to enjoy the sandwich, the officer got suspicious and took it down to the crime lab.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my, okay.
The lab not only confirmed it was saliva, but got the DNA code from the saliva.
Oh, my God.
Listen, Sheriff, I'm really sorry to have awoken you from your slumber, but it's over. Hands are tied now. You shut me down.
I offered you a chance when we could have done something, and you blew it! You blew it.
And, you know, De Niro's eating a sandwich in that scene.
That's right. A big sub. I can't believe the cop went this far with it.
That's true. He did. They went even farther than that. After making the boys down at the Burger King take blood tests, the police knew they had their man, or boy. The restaurant is now suing the Indiana State Police for harassing the employees and for hurting the restaurant's reputation.
But, I mean, they are completely covered, right, if they found that somebody did spit in the sandwich.
You would think.
If I was the cops, I don't think I would ever order a fish sandwich with tartar sauce. Because you never know what might be in there.
That's real DNA.
Yeah.
The police have put out a warning to other cops in the area not to eat at that Burger King. Probably a good idea.
You know, an important note is, did the cop get the food for free or did he buy it?
No, he bought the food.
Oh, he bought the food.
Yes, man, absolutely.
You know, and the kid, that sounds like the kid just tipped his hand by saying,
enjoy your sandwich.
They still don't know why this guy, Peter Bradley, attacked the pilot on an Alaska Airlines flight yesterday. Yes, it's Alaska again. Wasn't a hijack attempt, but this man did allegedly threaten to kill people on the flight from Mexico to San Francisco. Bradley is from Missouri. He's facing charges of felony assault and interfering with a flight crew.
Man, oh man.
Now, besides flying on their planes...
Man, oh man.
Oh man.
Oh, man.
I love you, Dad.
Now, besides flying on their planes, Boeing's a big employer in two Don and Mike affiliate cities, Wichita and Seattle. And now, one of the biggest white-collar strikes in American history is over. The 38-day strike by thousands of engineers for Boeing ended today with a tentative agreement. The final vote comes Sunday.
Now, you just threw that in. You're just being a homer. At the beginning of the news. But
right. Sure.
Because we're in Wichita today, and you're Wichita's favorite son.
A lot of people going back to work in Wichita, Buzz.
Right, yeah, that's true, and it's a big story.
That means you're going to lose a lot of listeners.
The proud 4% who choose not to work in this country.
Here and in Seattle.
Oh, way to go. I love you, Buzz.
I love you, Mike. It's as if this year's Oscar ceremony was cursed. First, the post office lost those ballots. Now, the Oscar statues have been stolen from a loading dock.
I have a question about this. I saw some video of this.
Now, video.
Is it true that these Oscar statues come in a box with a, like a little cardboard cutout of Oscar on the side of them?
That's what, yeah, I saw a picture of that, and it's
well,
like a
duh.
Silhouette.
What
of the
hell
Oscar.
Do they expect? It's right. Like, you know,
duh.
It's like, here are the golden statues.
They're very proud of that.
Oscar hates thieves.
Stolen from a loading dock as they were about to be shipped from Chicago to Los Angeles. The Academy says the show will go on March 26th. It says the new statues should be ready on the 24th.
Why doesn't somebody steal Billy Crystal?
You know, Mike and I saw the worst ad. It's Billy Crystal standing in his tuxedo shirt mm-hmm. with a pair of boxers.
Right.
And he's whistling,
right.
Hooray for Hollywood. And
sucked.
And his suit yeah. is hanging in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, only 18 days to wait, Billy.
It's almost time.
The Oscar people and the makers of South Park have come to an agreement on how to present the Oscar-nominated song Blame Canada. The song's lyrics are considered too rough for network television.
Yeah, they have the F-word in it.
That's right. So the producers have hired Robin Williams to present the song in a PG-13.
Here we go. I'm going to present the song to you in a PG way.
But first, I want to tell you about when I was Peter Pan.
Oh, yes, I hear you.
And then when my wife had the baby and she got the boobies and the big...
I hate to say it, but I will say it now publicly.
Mm-hmm.
I am burned out on Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like you were honest that day that you said you'd had it with Steve Martin. I have burned out.
Hold on, what day was that?
Well, you said that, you know, he's not as funny as he used to be.
But I didn't say I was burned out on it.
Okay, well, Robin Williams is still funnier than Steve Martin.
No, he is not.
And he's much more successful.
I ask you to look at the movie The Jerk. The Jerk.
Yes.
I hold that up against any Robin Williams, Patch Adams, piece of crap. What's the movie you did about the clown?
Bowfinger?
No. What's the movie about the clown in the concentration
Father
camp?
Of the Bride 2?
Jacob the Liar.
Jacob the Liar. Trump that, Jacob the Liar.
Hey, how many Oscar nominations does Steve Martin have?
Oh, Oscar can't eat my crotch. Oscar means dick.
I liked it when he peed in his pants. Steve Martin peed in his pants in L.A. Story, though. That was good.
Parenthood. Great movie.
Yeah.
Steve Martin, funny. Yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay. Come on, you know he's funny in Parenthood.
He is funny in Parenthood.
How do you explain Moscow on the Hudson?
I liked Moscow on the Hudson.
Oh.
Coffee.
Oh, please.
You can thank Jerry Seinfeld's old girlfriend for a lot of the cleavage you'll see in the new Julia Roberts movie. Shoshana Lonestein designed the bustier that Roberts wears in Erin Brockovich.
This little girl has knockers.
I've seen the pictures. That movie about a sexy and crusading law clerk opened today.
You know, I saw a picture of the real Erin Brockovich.
Yes.
And she surprisingly, the character Julia Roberts plays, mm-hmm. surprisingly looks like that girl.
Yeah, the real lady's a blonde, and she was wearing you probably saw the same picture I did, where she's kind of like got a sexy evening gown on.
Yeah, kind of look the same.
Also very busted. Rodney Dangerfield's in the hospital.
Busted.
But we don't know why. Rodney Dangerfield in the hospital.
Because he's old.
But my boy.
He checked into a Vegas hospital yesterday after finishing a 6-night stand-up gig. The hospital says he's in stable condition.
Hey. Oh, really?
Hey, this hospital. Where's my doctor? Dr. Vinegar Butts. I tell you right now, I got hemorrhoids. I got hemorrhoids to die for. Bye-bye, boys.
Lenny DiCaprio's stepbrother is apparently also a bad boy. Adam Farrar has been booked on attempted murder charges in Los Angeles. The sheriff's office won't comment except to say it's a domestic violence case and that nobody got hurt. DiCaprio and his stepbrother grew up together, but DiCaprio's people say he has no comment. And, well, there goes the figure. Catherine Zeta-Jones says she doesn't want to have a baby. She wants to have lots of babies.
Just stretch it out. Keep stretching it out. That's it. She's going to be no different than any other woman now. I'm telling you, Michael Douglas is going to have her all stretched out.
But he'll be blowing spit bubbles, so
he won't
care.
Meanwhile, you know, her most private of areas is going to look like a slinky. but he's going to be fine. He'll be good and turgid.
He'll be like his father, you know, he'll go on forever and ever.
Catherine
rise to these.
Catherine tells Style magazine, I'd like loads, and I'd like to have them quite close together.
Loads.
She'd like loads?
Loads, yes. Well,
loads.
Like she's going to get them.
Catherine Stratchard's zones.
She needs Garner goo.
If there's any consolation in this, it's that the aging Michael Douglas won't be getting much sleep before or after. She says she wants to have the baby soon. Quoting again, Michael is 25 years older than me, so we have to.
Yeah, and you know his modus operandi. Okay, he'll be around.
Right.
He'll wait till she gets back into shape, mm-hmm. and then he'll stretch her out a little bit more, and then he'll plant his demon seed, and then around the time she has the next baby, he'll move on to Christine Aguilera or Britney Spears or Mandy Moore or somebody.
That's because he's greedy. Rosie O'Donnell says she wants more kids. She adopted her third child in December, but she says she grew up in a family of five kids, and so she says that's how many she wants.
Rose, speaking of, I think I got a real one for you.
Oh, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, a Don fart.
Oh, yeah.
That was live.
Live. You know what that was? That was room service.
Live.
Thank you. Room service. How you like that, Dan?
Breaking wind. Live.
You know, I think our engineer, Dan, has seen a lot. I don't ever think he's seen one of us pull the microphone down to our ass and just cut one on the air.
That's why you have to do all that maintenance on those microphones.
Well, that was my tribute to Rosie O'Donnell having another baby.
That was true quality and your usual sound.
Yeah, you know,
you heard his average. That's your average right now.
My farts have a distinct personality.
It's kind of like a real good volume and then kind of squeezed off at the last second.
Thank you, Mike.
Rosie tells next week's People magazine that it's easier for her to adopt than other people because she can afford to hire a lot of lawyers.
Yeah, right. Thank you, Rosie. Time out, Buzz. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is for you. Ladies, open up those meat curtains for the stars of our show, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Want to guess how many people they have poured out our Las Vegas-style show to tonight? I mean, sponsors?
Six or seven?
Brains just counted them up. 43.
There are 43 fine sponsors making this thing possible.
43 sponsors for our Las Vegas-style show tonight.
And they're all great.
And they're all going to be waiting for us at the Cotillion.
I can't wait to meet them.
Because we refuse to have lunch with them today.
Absolutely.
That's what we said. We said we don't want to meet with them before the show, the radio show. Let's bring them out to the Cotillion tonight.
We will see them all at the Bozotillion.
Bring them. Bring them all. Bring the liquor stores, the cigarette stores, the pawnbrokers, the bail bondsmen.
Line them up, boys. We're ready.
The Mexican food store.
Wonderful.
The barbecue store, the electric store, the dial-a-waiter, Babes.
We'll have to find out what Babes is.
Yeah. Babes.
Might be the one store we want to meet.
And, of course, hello to the good people at Good Price Cigarettes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Official sponsor of the Don and Mike Las Vegas-style show.
To me, there is nothing quite like a merchant that lets you know exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Good Price Cigarettes. That's where you get your cigarettes at a fine price.
The sponsors, the backbone of the Don and Mike show.
Right. There we go.
Hi, Buzzy.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, Don and Charlie Broyhill saw the lead singer from Everclear at a Washington airport yesterday, and now we know why.
I will buy you a new house.
Art Alexakis, I believe, says he's not big on celebrity causes.
Dad! Dad! Dad, stroke again!
Dog not, mouth work not.
Love you!
Work not, mouth.
Alexakis was testifying before Congress in favor of a bill that would make employers deduct child support from a guy's paycheck. Alexakis says his own dad left his mom behind, moved out of the state, and didn't keep up on the payments.
Alexakis.
The men's magazine Maxim has put a new game on its website called Alley Feedin'.
Just like to mention that we will be featured in the May issue of Maxim magazine with our list of the 100 hottest women of the millennium and also the fake picture of us.
Can't wait for that.
That's 4 weeks away. The April issues are just arriving at subscribers' houses now. Now,
look for Gillian Anderson on the cover of the Maxim that we're going to be in.
I hope she's wearing a push-up bra.
In this game on the Maxim website, players try to shoot food into the mouth of Ally McBeal's Callista Flockhart.
I like that.
The food items include pizza, donuts, and ham hocks.
How about a nice big wiener?
And, figure conscious Allie moves back and forth across the screen trying to avoid the food and vomiting between each level of the game. If you win the game, Allie declares she's off her diet and that she's headed for a Sizzler.
This is heaven to you, isn't it?
It's very funny.
That's 2 hours worth of internet time to you.
That's
just
right.
Sitting there watching Allie puke.
I can hardly wait. Jerry Springer's getting his own game show. The New York Post says the syndicated show will feature trivia questions and that there won't be big money, but not much else is known about it. Jerry's talk show ratings have been slipping, and thanks to Millionaire, game shows are thought to be hot.
Why did he go with the trivia questions? Why didn't he go with my idea? I sent him a letter about it.
What?
My game show was Who Hit Mud?
Who wants to live in a trailer?
The Post says Springer was in L.A. yesterday shooting the pilot. The state of Utah is the first in the country to have a pornography czar.
Ooh.
The czar won't have any authority.
Hi, I am your leader. Bring your porno to me.
The czar won't have any authority over the internet or cable TV and won't have the power to prosecute.
The czar, that was the name of that big dildo, right?
That's right. That's right. The czar has no eyes.
Nice
one eye.
Nice coincidence. What the pornography czar of Utah will have to do is draw up a new definition of pornography for the lawyers. He's also supposed to talk up the dangers of obscenity, and to help cities and counties find ways to fight the naughty stuff.
Mormons love porn. Mormons love porn.
Mormons love porn.
Porn is a big issue in Utah.
Yeah, don't make that czar spitting mad.
Oh, no.
Porn is a big issue in Utah, where 7 out of 10 people are, in fact, Mormon. Lawmakers there have already passed a law keeping magazines like Playboy out of the prisons.
So,
lots of J-O-ers in Utah. Don't kid yourself.
Oh, sure. Closet J-O-ers. I mean, really, they have to be really secret.
They really have to go in the closet to J-O.
Absolutely. Can't do it like when no one's home. Like Chris Rock said.
NBC Meet the Press guy Tim Russert seems like a man's man, but he's all business down at the office. The Daily News says Russert has put out a memo telling the kids in the network's Washington.
He is pastier than Rob Spiewak is.
Tim Russert. Yes, not a healthy man.
He is doughier than Rob Spiewak is.
Very strange to see him on the tube.
He needs to get out in the sun. He's telling the folks in the network's Washington newsroom to stop visiting the naughty websites. His memo says bringing up sexually explicit material is unacceptable under NBC internet policy. Apparently, one employee had been posting nasty pictures on the computer screens of other workers in the NBC bureau.
You put pigtails on Tim Russert. You know what you get?
What?
Kathy Whiteside.
Oh, no!
Oh, another big evolution discovery. Scientists in Israel have found fossilized evidence
of men big as your thumb?
No, that was earlier this week. Uh-huh. Now they've found evidence of a snake with legs. It's not a lawyer.
It's Ken Stevens.
It could turn a lot of what we thought we knew about evolution on its head. They're pretty excited about that discovery.
Now we've got several of those.
And only on St.
There's one here named Tony Douching.
The happy man.
And only on St. Patrick's Day, I guess, a Wisconsin woman is recuperating from a ride on a motorized bar stool. Beatrice Ebert took the ride during the St. Patty's Day parade in Dundee, Wisconsin last Sunday.
All from motorized bar stools. Yeah, hey there.
Oh, you betcha, yeah.
Oh, yeah, hey there. Oh, I'd give anything there to have a ride on that motorized scooter there. Oh, yeah, hey there.
The bar stool was mounted on a go-kart frame powered by an engine from an old all-terrain vehicle. Hey.
The happy man.
And only on St. Patrick's Day, I guess, a Wisconsin woman is recuperating from a ride on a motorized bar stool. Beatrice Ebert took the ride during the St. Patty's Day parade in Dundee, Wisconsin last Sunday.
All from motorized bar stools. Yeah, hey there.
Oh, you betcha, yeah.
Oh, yeah, hey there. Oh, I'd give anything there to have a ride on that motorized scooter there. Oh, yeah, hey there.
The bar stool was mounted on a go-kart frame powered by an engine from an old all-terrain vehicle.
There you go.
The designer says Beatrice shouldn't have turned the steering wheel as it was doing about 25 miles an hour.
Enjoy your ride on the Omera 2000.
Aunt B now has a minor head injury.
Oh, I would mount that like I'd mount Brett Farm. Oh, yeah, hey there.
And the Crime Stoppers program in Laurel, Montana is offering a reward for information leading to the arrest of the former head of the Crime Stoppers program.
Hi, everyone.
Sandy Stevenson is accused of stealing more than $9,000 from the Crime Stoppers reward fund. Apparently, he left some money behind. The program's now offering $1,000 reward for his capture. Prosecutors think the former director probably blew the money he took on gambling.
Thank you, Buzz. Big Gum Jimmy hit the toe tap. And punch from time now for it. Call 100 and a prize package we've selected especially for you. Don't forget to be assertive.
Yeah.
You are the 100th caller. Good luck. And for those of you wondering around the country, this is what it sounds like when the show almost runs on time.
There you go.
We'll take the 100th caller right now. Phone number 1-877-365-3636 and good luck.
Day. Green beer? Corned beef and cabbage? How about a Las Vegas-style show? You heard it right. Don and Mike are coming to Wichita to kick a little canned ass. Tonight, for the first time ever, Don and Mike bring their legendary all-new Las Vegas-style show to the Cotillion. It's free to get in, but you got to be 21 years of age. The fun starts at 8 Central. Call 316-722-4201 for information or direction. St. Patty's Day with the Radio Guide. A splendid time is guaranteed for all. Aaron Gavron. Huzzah! Huzzah! Huzzah!
Abba gives me an erection. There you go.
America's favorite wingnut, Don and Mike.
Come on! Hi, Buzz. Hi.
In sports, the NBA is withdrawing those $100,000 fines it levied against the Seattle Supersonics and the Toronto Raptors after the coaches of those teams refused to wear microphones for an NBC broadcast. Now, the coaches under the new NBA policy, which changes daily, have the option of wearing the mics or not.
I love you, Buzz.
I love you. I love you, Don. Thank you for saying
so. I'll say that for all the years your father didn't say that to me.
I needed that.
Love you.
It's so amazing, it bears repeating. The Washington Wizards beat the Lakers last night, breaking the Lakers' 19-game winning streak. That was the longest NBA winning streak in 29 years. The 109-102 final also ended the Wizards' three-game losing streak, quoting Wizards president Michael Jordan, "They played well."
Oh, yes.
Dan Marino is reportedly ready to start his second career. A Palm Beach newspaper says the former Dolphins quarterback could wind up on Fox as a game analyst, or on ABC, opposite his old coach, Jimmy Johnson. Fox says it has heard from Marino's people.
And if he's as good as he is on those commercials for, if you'd like to mortgage your home away.
Oh, I love those commercials.
Sign him right up.
They make me cry. Everything makes me cry today.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I'm just filled with emotion.
Finally, before...
Gladys Kravitz just made Mike cry.
Yes.
Gladys, I love you, and thank you for my Target pin.
It's a lovely gift.
Thanks for bringing her back here.
I got a soft spot. Yeah, I guess I just showed my true colors that I really have a soft spot in my heart for Gladys.
We have spent the better part of 4 hours hiding in this radio station KFH from Gladys Kravitz, who's been in the lobby.
Yeah, well, I just saw Rob out there in the lobby awkwardly trying to ditch her, and I just felt I had to intervene. I really did. Because there's something there. There's something there, guys. You got to look a little deeper.
There's something there that wasn't there the last time we saw her.
Yeah.
Maybe about 40 more pounds. No, come on. She's heavier than we saw her before.
I don't remember the last time we were here. I don't remember looking at her.
Rembrandt. Her teeth were not as bad as the TV lady's teeth.
No, not at all.
Absolutely not as bad.
It's a horse race.
Literally a horse race.
Hey, somebody here in Wichita should be watching Channel 3 now to find out if they're going to actually run that aborted interview they came down and did with us.
I sure hope so.
My dad's taping, and I love you, Dad.
That's right. I heard that whole conversation. Hi, Dad. Wouldn't mind. It would be a personal favorite.
Thanks for having me at the house. Nice meeting you.
Finally, before you guys get back on the plane tomorrow, the owner of a New York computer company is suing Air France for $12 million. The smoke alarm in the lavatory went off while he was in there. Airline employees smashed in the door, pulled him off the toilet, and accused him of smoking on a non-smoking flight. His lawyer says the man had his pants down and his underpants down and was in the process of going to the bathroom.
I mean, he was really smoking.
I am going to the bathroom. That smoke is coming from my feet.
The lawyer says his client was viciously assaulted by crew members who pulled him naked outside the bathroom, exposing his genitals. And quoting the lawyer...
Why is it funny when you say genitals in the news? I don't know why, but it is. We say genitals like every day on the show 100 times. But when you say genitals in the news, it's funny.
Huh? Say it again, Buzz.
Exposing his genitals. I'll try to say it more often.
It sounds so authoritative when he says that. I bet you're big genitals.
That's like when you said scrotums in the news
right.
that time.
Yeah. Scrotums in the news. Like that. And after all that humiliation, quoting the guy's lawyer, turns out the smoke alarm was defective.
Ew!
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Excellent. We're done. Don.
Another moment too soon.
We gotta catch the next show.
Bye, Turkey. My turn it will. Be in touch.
Sorry, we're out of time.
No. Have a great weekend, everybody. Don't hurt yourselves. Love you, Frida. Love you, Bart. We will be back Monday with the all-new episode to tell you the recap of everything that happens tonight.
Absolutely. It's going to be a wild night in Wichita.
And then our flight back tomorrow. See you tonight in Wichita at the Cotillion. We'll hit the stage about 2 hours from now for our first-ever Las Vegas-style show in Wichita. Thank you to everybody at KFH, even to the Nazi, for all of the wonderful hospitality we were showed today.
Nice job, Tony. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you all. And now caller number 100. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, hello, Don and Mike Show.
Caller 100.
Right, move on to the next call, Jimmy. That fellow was not assertive. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, it's Melissa. I called for the contest.
Move on, please.
Oh. Next call.
You know, maybe it's because the show normally goes 20
yep.
minutes or so longer.
Sure.
These are people who don't normally listen to the very end of the show.
We got some novices.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I am caller 100.
There you go. Thank you. Now hit the music, Jim.
Good night.
Good night.
Very good. Until we meet again.
Good night.
Good night.
Ken, I'll be a good program director.
Good job, Jimmy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the big gun Jim Singer. And good night. You, my friend, caller 100, what's your name?
Jeff,
where are you from?
Portland, Oregon.
You and Portland, Oregon, listening on KGUY. Hey, guy.
Hi, guy.
One of the Sopranos cries back, meaning the hat, the book, the CD, and the shirt. Don't miss the Sopranos. That's this Sunday, our favorite show, 9 Eastern, 8 Central, only on HBO. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Radio God.
Very welcome.
Oh, now, that's the way to do it. That's the way to be assertive.
And we thank you. A good station in Portland, KGUY, and also a great station in Wichita, KFH. Thank you for the hospitality. We will see you Monday with a recap of everything that happens tonight.
Fantastic.
Tonight.
Yeah.
Friday.
And
you'll be back at home on Monday, won't
you? Yeah, but I'm looking forward to going to the Gonzo Tilly.
That's it. We will see you then. Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Buzz.
Thank you, and good night, Don.
And now, Rob, please throw your hat in the air just like Billy's Tyler Moore. That's sad.
Oh, across the nose.
Yeah. Oh, hickory dickory dock.
Come on, Dice. Let's go to the Cotillion.
We will see you Monday. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long, everybody.
Door, please.
Oh, I got it. No, you got it.
Goodbye.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis, Jr.